Hey, welcome to the Film Podcast. Welcome all. As always, I'm Ricardo.
I'm Adam Scott.
I'm Kevin.
And today we are a Jenny short. That sounds weird. We're Jenny.
We're short one Jenny.
We're short one Jenny. There could be many Jennies. She might be a clone. She doesn't have a belly button, so. But in her place are two people today. It's weird that we replaced her with two
she's
people.
She's so big.
Yeah. And that is people you've listened to, if you've listened to since the beginning and stuff, two guys who have been on the podcast before. Rory Haddon.
Yo.
I like that. And Brandon Strelitz.
Hello.
You took like a little pause and like then said hello. It's weird.
But to make sure it was him.
Yeah. Brandon.
Testing.
You're just in town for a couple days?
Just a couple days.
All the way from Fargo?
You betcha.
It's just like the movie, isn't it?
Just like the movie. Not.
You mean Peter Stormare isn't just driving around looking for you?
You know, Peter Stormare, Stu Buscemi, they're all there.
Yeah. All right. Well, first of all, this is going to be our first ever negative podcast where we're talking about bad experiences.
Well, I'm still trying to skew positive.
Yeah.
I'm sticking with it. They're movies.
I'm trying.
They're movies that were disappointing, but I still enjoyed them. They just didn't meet the like the bar that it was set in my mind.
Yeah, yeah. So today we're talking about disappointing films.
I don't want to talk about all that. Because also, I kind of feel like a hater lately, where I just kind of hate everything. So if we just talk about disappointing films, we'd be here forever, and I could just talk about movies that came out this year.
Yeah. Well, that's what kind of inspired this podcast. I thought, hey, there's been a couple movies, not a couple, a lot of them, that have disappointed this year. So let's talk about disappointing films overall. All right. So I guess we shouldn't do a list. We'd just kind of go like round table, and I guess it's kind of a list, but we'll just talk about movies. You know, if you have one, mention it. If you don't, I only have four. That's why. So I don't even have five.
You're just never disappointed.
We're not going
to. I am. I don't know.
Before we get into the disappointment, should we talk about good movies that we've seen recently?
Yes. Well, good and bad.
Well, obviously. It is 2013.
Yeah.
So.
It's been a while since we actually got all together. And the last couple episodes we kind of pre-recorded, except for the Comic-Con ones. But all right. It's been a while. So who wants to start off? Movies. Who wants to start off with a good movie they saw?
Wait. I don't even remember the last day we recorded. I talked about how much I enjoyed The Conjuring last time?
No, haven't.
Okay.
Let's talk about that.
I really, really liked The Conjuring.
I did too.
I enjoyed it thoroughly. Like, from the opening, James Wan's really good at openings. Like, the opening scene of that movie, the opening scene of Insidious, I'm like, all right, I'm not sure what's... Oh, this is cool. I like it. And then I'm in.
Yeah.
And like, I don't know, something about that 70s title sequence just grabbed me, and I was good to go the whole time.
I was like... We're so close to getting him on the show, and then bam, he gets the Fast and the Furious deal. So, I think he should be in LA though, filming that. So, I know he lives in the Valley. So, hopefully, we get
Are
a chance.
Are you stalking James Wan?
No, I know somebody that knows him. So, it's just a matter of getting a report put out, to get him on the podcast.
I got you.
All right. So, I love The Conjuring.
It was really good.
I'm surprised.
Some good scares. I liked that. They messed with you because, like, in the trailer, it looked like they gave away a bunch of the scares. But the editor, whoever edited that trailer, fucked with your mind. I was like, oh, yeah, I'm going to play around and make you think that that's the scare when it's not. And I liked that. That was cool. I hate it when they spoil the scares.
I also, Kevin, you saw this as well, right?
Yep.
So it was myself, Adam, and Kevin who saw it. Bren, you're not a fan?
No, I thought it was excellent. And like you said, the trailer did not spoil a thing. I did not even know Ron Livingston was in the movie from the trailer.
I didn't either. Well, I don't remember the trailer because there's a bunch of movies that because Insidious is Patrick Wilson as well, right?
Yeah.
And Vera Farmiga?
No.
No.
Who's Rose Byrne.
Oh, okay. So I didn't know that Patrick Wilson was in it to begin with.
Oh, okay.
I knew Ron Livingston was in it. But, and then... At one point, I thought it was two different timelines.
Mm-hmm. Well, at one point, I remember someone had misreported that it was the sequel to Insidious. So that also was confusing for a bit.
Oh, okay.
I don't remember which site reported that. But like, oh, yeah, here's footage from the set of Insidious 2, but it was The Conjuring. I mean, they are doing Insidious 2, but it wasn't... It made things a little bit messy.
Yeah.
But this was awesome. Patrick Wilson was great.
Yeah.
Lily Taylor, Vera Farmiga.
Yeah.
John Livingston. It was a lot of fun. Great scares. Those kids were really good.
Yeah, they were really scared.
They were great.
Yeah, sometimes you watch a movie and you're like, oh, these kids aren't scared. Why should I be scared? But these girls were like fucking terrified. Like, especially the scene where like they're looking into the darkness.
Yeah.
And he's like, it's in the back of the door. And you're like, no, turn on the fucking light. What are you doing? Yeah. It's funny. Like, when I see a good horror movie, like, I instantly, like, am the guy who wants to start talking to the screen. No.
Don't go in there.
Don't go in there. That ghost is in there. But yeah. All right. What else did we all see? I got to see Blue Jasmine. I was going to say Blue Jazz. It's a different movie.
Blue Jazz? Blue Light Jazz?
Yeah.
It's a different movie. I haven't got to see it. It hasn't been at a movie pass theater yet. So.
I enjoyed it. I loved this. The last one was From Rome with Love. To Rome with Love. And that was okay. The thing with Woody Allen is that, like, I'm never disappointed. It's one director who, even if he makes like a bad movie, like, I'm like, oh, that was an interesting experiment in delving into that type of material. And like, so even like Curse of the Jade Scorpion, don't hate it.
We'll see.
Small Time Crooks, don't hate it.
I love Curse of the Jade Scorpion.
So do I.
But I feel like To Rome with Love was a contender for this list. Because like, it wasn't what I was hoping for. I mean, I enjoyed it, but it was lesser Woody Allen.
Yeah, no, totally. But again, like, I like that he's experimenting with certain things. And like, Alec Baldwin, like, it just his character, it was really interesting. But Blue Jasmine, I loved everybody who was in it. A lot of great character actors and supporting parts. Peter Sarsgaard, Andrew Dice Clay. It was just some good acting, you know. People who are like, ah, man.
I really want to see it.
Dice Clay should be doing more stuff like this.
It
more
seriously. Really good.
Yeah, it was really good.
He's getting talked up.
Yeah.
Very nicely.
Yeah. So I love that. Check it out if you get a chance. It's only playing on a limited release. And then what else? What else did we see?
Okay.
The Wolverine?
I did. But I was gonna kind of do a 1-2 punch with like a really bad movie and then a movie I enjoyed.
Okay, let's do it.
So I saw RIPD.
Ooh. So did I. Unfortunately.
Yeah.
How was that?
That was
pretty awful.
The trailer was the good part.
I didn't even think the trailer was good. I went and saw it because Jeff Bridges was in. I was like, all right, well, Jeff Bridges is in this and he's talking it up, so I got to see what he's talking about. And it was just so god awful.
And was I the only one who didn't know that Kevin Bacon was even in this movie until?
Whoa, spoiler alert.
I didn't know that.
A spoiler alert.
I didn't know he was in the movie. I mean, from the trailers, I didn't know he was in the movie. But I heard an interview with Jeff Bridges where he talked about working with Kevin Bacon. But I was like, wait, what movie is he talking about working with Kevin Bacon? I was like, oh, he's in this?
He was in he was in Whitewater Summer?
Yes.
But I didn't see it. Was it that bad?
It was awful.
It's so bad.
I knew going in, I'm like, Men in Black ripoff anyone? Yeah. And then I'm like, it's going to be bad, but maybe it'll be bad fun. No, just bad.
Just bad. Like, terrible CG, terrible everything. Just the worst writing. It wasn't, it was all around a terrible movie. Like, Jeff Bridges, he's funny in parts, and like him and Mary Louise Parker have some good moments. I mean, Ryan Reynolds is Ryan Reynolds. He's not really bringing much to the table here because it's just so bad. Like, he's not part of why it's bad. It's just bad, and he's not helping to lift it up out of how shitty it is.
He's bringing the looks.
That's about it, yeah.
Yeah.
Like, he's the only reason Savannah went and saw it with me.
He's bringing the ladies to the theater.
Yeah, he got Savannah into the theater, and she probably resents him for that.
Uh-oh.
She didn't see...
And he doesn't really take his shirt off or anything.
Really?
Not that I recall. That's not really what I was looking for.
Well, then I'm not going to go see it then. did you see The Wolverine?
I did see The Wolverine.
Let's talk about it.
I enjoyed it.
I enjoyed the first three quarters of it. Then I was like, what? No spoilers, Rory.
I'm not going to spoil anything.
I don't know.
You know how much I complained about that ending.
Yeah.
I didn't like the ending at all.
Well, yeah, the ending is silly. But I enjoyed it in spite of the ending up until that point. And just also, it's got the benefit of the first one before it, which was just so bad.
Yeah, yeah.
And they set the bar really, really low.
Yeah, that was the thing about the first like three quarters of the movie. The bullet train fight was pretty cool. A bunch of the fights in the beginning are really cool. Yeah. It just, I got like ninja blue balls.
Dude. They didn't, like, they kept teasing us with the ninjas.
And they never...
And never gave us ninjas.
Yeah. Well, they gave us ninjas, but not the fight we wanted.
No, that doesn't count.
Yeah.
didn't count.
And was it me or did anybody else like keep thinking? All I could think about was at the very end was RoboCop 2. That's all I thought about. RoboCop 2.
RoboCop 2.
Kane. That's all I can think about. I mean,
I was thinking more RoboCop 3.
All right.
With the ending. Because the ending was pretty bad.
Oh, yeah.
And it was Japanese.
Oh, it's true. Yeah.
And also, it also just kind of, the whole, as much as I loved the Japanese setting, it was also just kind of salt on the wound for the fact that they totally wasted Lady Deathstrike in X2 and didn't even use any of that backstory. Like, what I loved about the Lady Deathstrike backstory is, like, her involvement with Wolverine and, like, all the Silver Samurai stuff, but none of that's in there because they fucked it up 3 movies ago.
Yeah. My thing is, I felt like this was a whole, it was just a setup for X-Men Days of Futures Past.
Yeah.
Days of Future Past. Which we saw a lot of footage of at Comic-Con, and it looks pretty cool. Yeah. So.
I think its biggest downfall was no clear-cut villain.
Yeah.
That didn't help.
Yeah.
Everybody, they tried to do a twist thing.
Well, it's like they spent so much time like trying to hide who the villain was. It's like, all right, but you have the Viper right there.
She's
there, and she's clearly evil.
Yeah.
Like, from the first scene, you're not being subtle about the fact that she's a villain.
Yeah.
Yeah, there was like four different people that was like, do I hate this person?
Yeah.
Do I want Wolverine to stab this person later? And by the end, I didn't care.
Yeah.
At all.
Well, I mean, by the end, I wanted him to stab everybody.
Oh, well, yeah.
Just go on a stabbing
spree. And at Comic-Con, he promised Berserker Rage, and I didn't really see it.
Yeah, I didn't see it either. He promised it in Comic-Con.
He came out for the Wolverine panel and was like, y'all know Berserker Rage and his Hugh Jackman shit, and fucking he didn't
Maybe
do it.
Maybe he considered the train Berserker Rage.
When
he flew.
Yeah.
Like, that was like the train, the energy from, that was just.
That's not him.
I feel like
that was just physics.
Yeah.
I feel like Berserker Rage should just be Logan's no longer making any decisions. He's just killing folk.
Yeah.
And I didn't see that. I felt like there was the one scene when he was going after somebody, and then, like, the action stopped. He never got to anybody to Berserker Rage unleash on.
Yeah.
And missed opportunity.
So he got
blades. Yep, I got blue balled ninja, blue ball blades, blue balled rage. Wow. Oh, God.
Blue ball all around.
I didn't leave that.
You blew yourself.
That. Yeah, dude, I had to go home and like fix all these problems on my computer.
Anything else you guys saw?
You had already seen The Way, Way Back, right?
Yeah, it's fun.
Yeah, really good. I enjoyed it. Sam Rockwell was great. It was uncomfortable.
Yeah.
It was a very uncomfortable movie.
So I compared it. So I saw Mud earlier this year, and I consider them, even though people don't, I consider them the same type of movie. It's a coming-of-age film to me. And I like Mud was so good that The Way, Way Back was good, but Mud just did it way better.
I mean, they're very different movies to me, and I do like Mud way better. But I just, like I wouldn't have a double feature with The Way, Way Back in Mud.
I would, but I'd play The Way, Way Back first.
I do like Mud and some version of the Huck Finn story or something.
Tom and Huck. The Adventures in Tom and Huck?
No, the one with John Taylor Thomas.
Oh. All right, should we get into the list or what? I mean, not a list, but let's talk about disappointing moments in our lives.
Disappointing movies.
Yeah.
Let's just open those wounds.
Yeah. Who wants to go first and talk about their first movie? Oh, no, don't jump all at once, guys. Adam, you want to start us off?
Okay. Where do I want to go?
Just pick one.
Here. Okay. Beverly Hills Cop 3.
What? Is that the theme park one?
Whoa, it is a theme park
one. Oh, come on.
Well, that's right. You're doing movies that you still enjoyed, though. That's why.
Yeah, I still enjoy this movie. But it's not as good as the first Beverly Hills Cop. I mean, I want to say this one's PG-13. Oh, no, it's R. It's R, but it's like barely R.
Yeah.
Like, he says fuck like maybe twice.
It's R with a very family.
They don't have any meetings in a strip club like in the first two movies.
Yeah, they should be. no titties at all.
The whole theme park setting,
really,
I feel like it kind of holds it back.
Yeah.
And the stuff with the crazy Nerf gun is much sillier now that I'm older. Like, when I was a kid, that was awesome.
Yeah.
But now, like, rewatching, I'm like, oh, this is really silly.
You went with, I don't know. I like that movie. I still liked it.
I know, I like it.
I think I still like it as much as the second one, even.
Yeah, no, the second one's badass to me. I really like the second one.
See, mine's are really our big disappointments in my life.
See,
I started out small.
Okay,
I'm building.
Well, all right.
And again, I was trying to be positive because this seems like a very negative.
I liked the theme park. I liked the change of setting.
Yeah, Wonderworld, man, Wonderworld.
Yeah,
which is maybe really it's because I lived in Georgia Paramount. And I was so close to Disney World.
Has anybody been to that theme park? No, like I'm not seriously. Like when I was a kid, it was awesome. I made my parents. We did a California road trip vacation, and I made my parents take me to the theme parks that they use in the movie.
Really?
Nice. Yeah, because it was that Paramount Studios. There's a Paramount theme park up north of here.
Really?
And that's what Wonderworld is. Yeah,
I didn't know that.
Is that not the Universal Studios ride that they use though? With
the earthquake, the alien invasion, alien attack.
Earthquake, but like the stuff with the double merry-go-round and some of the roller coasters, that's this Paramount theme park up north, which I don't even know is still exists, but I went there.
All right. Well, you're starting off slow.
I am.
But, all right.
That's why I don't know why you started with me, because I told you right away that I was trying to talk about movies that I still enjoyed. They don't make the litmus test.
When was the last time you watched Beverly Hills Cop 3?
Recently.
Okay. See, I just rewatched the entire trilogy last week because I'm pumped for the number 4 that's supposed to happen.
Yeah, I'll believe that when it's actually wrapped.
I know.
Because they've been talking about 4 for a long time.
Yeah. We'll see about that. Kevin, what is your first movie you want to talk about?
Oh,
it's got to be sad moments in your life, dude.
Well, none of these are really sad moments in my life. It's not like it affected me as a person.
Should have.
That's just how Ricardo picked his.
Show us on the doll where they touched you.
Yeah. I could probably talk about people that I hate from here on out because of some of these movies that they made.
All right.
I don't really ever want to see a Tim Burton movie anymore.
All right.
Because he took a film from my childhood and said, I'm going to rape it.
Yeah.
Let's go with that one. I'm interested.
A little film called Charlie and the Chocolate Factory.
Well, this
dude, I'm so there with you.
This is good because
totally mine raped it.
My number 5 is also a Tim Burton movie, so let's just talk about Tim Burton
and,
in general.
And I'm going to defend, like Adam, your Tim Burton movie.
What?
I know. And you know I'm a huge fan just like yourself, too. But
okay.
Let Kevin go first.
Okay, dude. Kevin, what is your
I think Tim we really movie? Should just talk about it in order, though, because Planet of the Apes came first.
That's where he touched you, right, Ricardo?
Yeah.
Take us back to that moment.
Yeah. I'm like, okay, Mark Wahlberg, Boogie Nights, Three Kings. All right, let's get into it. You know, let's go see this Planet of the Apes movies. I'm like, maybe there's cool effects. You know, I heard Tim Roth was going to be in it, so I'm like, fucking A, he's a good actor.
Charlton Heston as an ape. I was like, that's awesome.
Yeah, yeah. Paul
it
Giamatti.
Wasn't, though.
And then you show up to the theater, and then you're like, what the fuck is this dude? What's going on? Why is he wearing like the weird like Lilu like outfit? Why is he wearing bandages? He looks like a mummy. And why is he always out of breath? But that was just Mark Wahlberg. And I'm like, I learned to accept Mark Wahlberg out of breath. But man, we'll just go to the ending. What the fuck's going on, man? What world do we live in? Where he's just like, fuck, people who love this movie, I'm going to flip them off visually with this ending and say, fuck you guys. I don't care about your shitty fucking Planet of the Apes movie.
You know, a friend of ours has a theory about the ending because he read the book. And we had a very long conversation under the influence talking about his theory on the ending and how the book poses the theory that apes don't think of things on their own. They just mimic what they see.
Hmm.
And so that ending is them kind of mimicking
what's
humans, though.
Yeah. It's still not my Planet of the Apes.
I'm not saying that does anything, but
yeah,
that was his theory about the ending of this
movie. Makes you wonder if they're going to remake it and do it by the book, why they didn't go by the book and actually make it a technologically advanced society.
Yeah.
Because that's how it is in the book, but in the original movie, they didn't have the budget to do that, so they made it all primitive and archaic.
That original's so good.
Yeah.
And here's the thing. Now with the reboot, I enjoyed Rise of the Planet of the Apes. I really enjoyed it. And from the footage we saw of the new one, Dawn of the Planet of the Apes, looks really cool. Well, you know, got a lot of good actors I like, has a director I like, has a screenwriter I love, the guy who wrote Contagion. So I hope that eventually the third or fourth film will be a remake of Planet of the Apes, the original, and make it like the book, where it's all technologically advanced stuff. So Did you like the remake? This new like reboot?
I loved the reboot, and okay. I loved all the you know, hints to
the original,
the original
character names, and all. Yeah,
yeah,
yeah.
Now I was talking to Kevin just earlier today then about the remake here, the Tim Burton raping.
Yeah.
And maybe I'm a little bit more of a defender, but
why? How dare you?
I haven't watched it in years, mind you, but I think I have the novelty of remembering waiting in line at the theater with Adam Roscoe, pretty much camped out, only ones there, sitting around wearing my Cornelius mask for the film.
And it was nothing like that.
Since it was such an enjoyable time.
The line that was you and Adam Roscoe, just the two of you, correct. That was the line?
Just the two of us for a couple hours waiting for that theater to open. And then wearing the chimpanzee mask throughout the lobby of the theater. Being the only idiot dressed up for Planet of the Apes.
People pointing at you, laughing.
So maybe just the good times experiences are what's holding that memory together. I haven't revisited the movie in like a decade, so.
There's a reason for that. Because it's not very good.
You don't want to taint your own memory.
Yeah, hold on to the experience. Just burn the DVDs and don't ever watch it again.
And you know what? Just recently, I rewatched it just to see like how I felt about it. I'm like, maybe I like kind of this S&M type of torture, you know, where I torture myself by watching shitty movies that, you know, no, it turns out I still don't like it. So,
hey, it's got good makeup though. Okay.
Yeah, I agree. And the only redeemable quality of the movie is Michael Clark Duncan. He's pretty cool. And Tim Roth is an awesome villain in that movie. He's just like, he definitely like. Outacts the mask. Like, he's just really, really good in it. And that's the only reason it's still watchable for me. So, but let's talk about more Tim Burton.
Yeah.
Well, here we go. This is the thing that he made Big Fish, and that wasn't bad. Like, I love Big Fish.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It's a great movie. But then he's like, you know what? I touched one group of people, but now let me move on and touch another whole world of people. And people, here are the people who like Tim Burton. I shouldn't say it. I don't want to insult. But mostly like teenage girls.
Do they have the semicolon on the wrist?
Probably. Yeah. Yeah.
They do.
They do.
I think nowadays it's less than liking Tim Burton, just loving Johnny Depp.
I guess so. Well, why didn't these teenagers go see The Lone Ranger then?
Because they don't know what The Lone Ranger is.
Yeah. But all right. So you picked... which one did you pick? Charlie?
Planet of the Apes is on there as well, but I think Charlie and the Chocolate Factory was more of a disappointment for me, just because I love the original so much, and I love the book. But a friend of ours earlier posed the question, it's like, well, how can you count that as a disappointment? Because if Planet of the Apes is a disappointment, how can you count that? Because he made Big Fish before Charlie and the Chocolate Factory, and he was reteaming with Johnny Depp, who hadn't started weirding out and just doing stupid shit. and it's like, if you remember when they teamed together before, Edward Scissorhands, they made some pretty good movies. And so you thought, oh, this is going to be right up their alley. No, it wasn't. It was just them getting high and coming up with some really, really weird shit.
I like to think that they were high. That would justify a lot of these movies.
Are you saying you didn't enjoy the hamsters or chipmunks or whatever they are singing the Willy Wonka song?
Nope.
Oh God!
I didn't enjoy the fact
that. I forgot
that,
about the squirrels.
I mean, one of the things that I love about the original so much is that he's creepy, and he's not. I mean, he's just weird, and he has daddy issues.
Yeah,
in this movie, and it's like, why are we bringing in daddy issues and stuff like that?
Yeah,
but yeah.
Yeah, dude, the in the tunnel in the first one, way creepier than anything in the new one.
It's like a total acid trip.
Yeah,
yeah, yeah. Well, just the fact that Gene Wilder's far superior actor than Johnny Depp. I mean, I'm not saying Johnny Depp sucks. He's a great actor.
But Gene Wilder is.
Gene Wilder kind of, he has that going against him. But besides that, like, it's just, like, his weird haircut take of, you know, Willy Wonka didn't work for me. It worked for a lot of teenage girls, but not this guy.
Well, Johnny Depp isn't even my biggest problem with this movie. It's, like, just so many terrible choices.
Yeah. Like the sweet Oompa Loompa songs.
Oh, those awful, awful songs. Using the same guy as every Oompa Loompa was
so stupid.
Really just unsettling and creepy. And I'm sure that added an extra $1 million to the budget that could have been used in the script somehow. I don't know.
Yeah.
And it was just so unredeemably just everyone was unlikable. Like, I didn't care about anybody. Didn't care about Willy Wonka. Didn't care about Charlie. Didn't care. Like, it was just all. I just. It was ugly and not fun. And
yeah,
it was like, yeah, I don't know. I'm always hesitant to say that any director has raped my childhood, because like I still have that memory. Like the memory. I still have Willy Wonka. So he didn't rape my childhood, but he definitely sullied the memory for other kids. Like, dude. Like if you hear a kid who grew up watching the new Charlie and the Chocolate Factory instead of Willy Wonka, it's like the same thing as when you hear, like, oh yeah, I love those Star Wars movies, you know, with Jar Jar. I'm like, fuck you. Yeah. You don't know what the fuck you're talking about. Yeah. That's sad that that's your Star Wars. I pity you.
Yeah.
And I don't look forward to the fact that when I'm old and senile, you're going to be in charge of the country and that's your Star Wars movie.
Well, there you go. There you go. You thought you were going to keep positive and we went.
Well, this wasn't my choice. I mean, I agree that it was disappointing.
Yeah. All right. Well, and Alice in Wonderland, let's not even talk about that.
That pretty much after Charlie and Chocolate Factory, that's when I was just like, just go to hell.
Yeah.
Even though I did enjoy Sweeney Todd, I mean, that did, I watched and I was like, okay, there's like a Band-Aid on this wound.
Yeah.
That you hacked off my arm.
But I put a little Band-Aid in it. It's kind of...
I stopped bleeding for a little bit.
Yeah.
Yeah, and then after your Band-Aid, I thought Dark Shadows actually looked good, and surprised. That was like the worst movie I saw.
So bad.
So, as of lately, he hasn't made a movie we've liked, right?
Right,
right.
So he's done what, like two we've liked since the year 2000? Big Fish and Sweeney Todd?
Yeah.
Are we missing one?
That's it.
I mean, in comparison to everything else that came out afterwards, I'm okay with Corpse Bride now. I didn't like. I was disappointed.
You're okay with it by comparison.
By comparison, yeah. I'm like, all right, that's not so bad. It's no Alice in Wonderland.
Yeah, yeah. And people like it's funny. Everybody who I know that just like defends Tim Burton, they always go, oh, Edward Scissorhands. I'm like, yeah, Edward Scissorhands. Yeah, yeah, you're right. You made a good movie.
That was 80s. Like 20 years ago.
Yeah.
Tim Burton made my favorite movie of all time, Ed Wood. But I'm not going to defend all this other.
And Johnny Depp should have won an Oscar for that.
I know. Yes. That's what pisses me off when everyone's like, Jack Sparrow, he was so good. It's like the best performance ever.
No, no. It was Johnny Depp in Ed Wood. If you haven't seen it, check it out. A really good Tim Burton movie. And that's what kind of gives me hope each time. Like every time I hear, oh, Tim Burton's going to make another movie, I'm like, as long as it's not another remake, because anytime it's not a remake, but like Big Fish, it's a good movie. Do you know what I mean? So I'm just waiting for him to make another original like film and not another remake. So hopefully. All right, Brandon.
Okay, well, I guess going on from our remake discussion, I'll start off for the audience members who don't know me that I am a big supporter of Keanu Reeves.
I'm sorry. Glitter. You like Maricarian.
Oh, they know. No. They know that he's a
that
big
was
fan.
That was the former life. Okay, former that was in a past life
before you were reborn.
Wait, so you don't
I
own
was
it?
Reborn.
Do you not own it?
I do not own glitter.
What? Was there like some type of ceremony? Did you bury it?
Yes.
Or burn it?
For the people who are new listeners,
I buried it in a DVD burial ground.
Brandon. For the people who are new listeners, we early on in the podcast we talked about Brandon, our friend. He used to live in LA, moved away to Fargo. But, like, maybe it was, like, the third or fourth time I've been over to his house when we first started hanging out. I go over and I'm like, man, like, this guy has a bunch of DVDs. Like, he still does. Just a huge collection. And I'm like, man. And I'm like, can I borrow a DVD? And he's like, yeah, totally, you know. Just let me know what you're going to take. And I'm looking and I get to the, geez. And, yeah, there it is. Mariah Carey in Glitter. He owns it. And I thought it was a joke. I'm like, oh, man, Glitter, huh? He's like, yeah. And then, like, there's no explanation. Like oh, man, it was a joke gift. It was a bachelor party I went to. And no, nothing. No.
Hey, that movie introduced us to Terrence Howard, okay?
I think Mr. Holland's Opus.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Did that. So. All right, so,
I hadn't seen it. Sorry. It introduced me to
Terrence Howard. you got rid of it.
Yes.
Like the Jumanji game. You yes. buried it?
You buried it next to all the...
until those some poor French children.
They're gonna dig it up, and
I hear scared. It's gonna be big in France, like Jerry Lewis.
Yeah. So what is your pick?
So as I was saying, big supporter of Keanu Reeves. Also, one of my favorite sci-fi films of all time, The Day the Earth Stood Still, remake. Awful.
Yeah. I thought you meant the remake that you liked.
No, the remake was awful.
Yeah. it was pretty horrible.
And as much as I'm a huge fan of the original, I thought to myself, well, a sci-fi movie with special effects, they could do a modern update. A lot of people haven't seen the original. You know, this could be good. This could be good. No. I think that there was so much emphasis on the special effects that they left the entire script out.
Yeah, they're like, what can we disintegrate a stadium and a big rig? We can. All right, then fuck it.
It's like, huh? Yeah, I don't remember that take in the original film. Okay.
Yeah.
I'm like, there wasn't. I was telling him, I'm like, I don't even remember what happened in the movie. Like, there was some big like tornado of disintegration going on.
It was. I don't even know. That was what Gort was.
Yeah.
Gort was like nanites.
Yeah.
That come apart and start
eat stuff.
Yeah. It was terrible. And it what's his name? The dude from early edition.
Yeah.
Spoiler alert.
Yeah.
But don't see that movie.
Yeah. Don't.
Here, spoiler alert. Don't see the remake of The Day the Earth Stood Still.
Yeah.
Just watch early edition.
It's funny because I didn't see that in theaters. I caught it like on cable. I think it was playing on cable. And I'm like, this movie's so bad, I have to finish watching it.
I saw it in theaters.
Oh, man. I saw it in parts because I was like, okay, I'm going to take a break. But I agree with you. Yeah. Good pick. Man, that was a
terrible pick.
So what happened?
Terrible.
What happened? So you went to the theaters to see this, mm-hmm. and you still thought like, "Oh, this movie could be good," right?
Yeah. I'm like, yeah. Forget the reviews, whatever. I'm like, how could they screw it up? I'm like, Keanu Reeves does no wrong.
Yeah.
I dare you.
You're like, hey, if Keanu Reeves turned down Speed 2 Cruise Control,
yeah, he knows.
He knows what he's doing, right?
He knows when there's a bad script. Okay.
All right.
Give a pass.
He wasn't the bad part of the movie, though.
Yeah.
I know he wasn't.
So he's got that going for him.
Is he ever? I mean, it's not his fault. The lake house.
He's
sucked,
the bad
okay?
part of Much Ado About Nothing.
Yeah. Whoa.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Whoa.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Whoa.
He is.
I am looking for. I know some people were like, "Ooh, it looks stupid," but I am looking forward to 47 Run, even though I heard horrible stories of like the production stuff. Going over budget and stuff like that, but it looks cool. It looks like
I had a moment when I went really Keanu Reeves, but then I didn't care.
It looks like Samurai Lord of the Rings, and I'm like, I'm okay with that.
I'm more interested in Man of Tai Chi.
That too. He directed that, right? And wrote it?
Yeah.
Oh.
But if it's like Samurai Lord of the Rings, shouldn't you be anti it, Mr. Lord of the Rings?
I should. We'll get to that eventually. When I get to number two. My number again, the one I picked was Planet of the Apes. So Rory, what is the movie you want to talk about?
Shrek the Third.
Uh-oh.
You made it that far?
Wow.
Yeah, because I love the first two. Like, I mean, I had totally sold because like two brought in Puss in Boots.
It's two brought just, in the Rocky Horror Picture Show references.
I love cats, man.
That's true.
Oh my god, and a cat that talks and wears boots. You got me. But I mean those first two movies have a perfect blend to entertain the children and then the adults watching it with the children or 20-something-year-old guys just watching movies.
Yeah.
And so I loved the first two movies, so I was super stoked for the third one. And then I found out like King Arthur was in it, and I was like, fucking hey. I love Arthurian lore.
And more cats and boots.
Yeah, more cats.
Yeah.
Yeah, that movie sucked. Like they didn't have that balance anymore. The jokes fell flat and Arthur was a little douchebag.
So wait. Did you see Puss in Boots then, though?
I did. It was bad.
But was it as bad as...
No, it was, it was a little better.
Because I did see Puss... I actually got an Oscar screener for Puss in Boots. So I watched it. I was like, that wasn't terrible, but I still didn't want to watch Shrek the Third.
Shrek the Third was so bad. But yeah, Puss in Boots, too. That's I didn't even think about that one because I blocked it out of my mind because I was like, this is the character I loved from Shrek 2. And it just like it didn't even feel like in the same vein as the other movies. At all. I think they were trying for something else.
I think I just saw Shrek too many times when it first came out.
Yeah.
Like, so you don't I even like it was always I feel on. Like you're not even liking Shrek over there, like at all.
I mean, I don't hate it. I'm indifferent. Like I've seen it too many times. Like I don't care. Like I really I really enjoyed it. Like when they go to what's the Duloc or whatever and they like the little mechanical
the little
thing starts singing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah.
I thought that was hilarious. But I can't really rewatch it.
You know what? I wish we could have seen the original voice, the Chris Farley Shrek version of it, because he was supposed to be the original voice, and that would have been interesting to me. I bet you he would have. I don't know.
I don't think he would have saved it.
No. But I'm saying I just would have maybe.
I think I still wouldn't
more.
Care.
Yeah. I didn't really care for that movie. I saw it. I think like Adam said, it was overplayed like on TV. Like
they played it all the fucking
all
time.
The time
because it was like, so good.
You just turn on FX. Yeah.
I've seen two so many times.
There's a movie. If a movie is so good and they play it all the time, you know it's good by the fact that I watch it every time.
Yeah.
Like Shawshank Redemption.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Shrek, I'm like, oh, I'm gonna keep going past.
Shrek so. 2 is no, right up there with Shawshank there. For me. Every time either one of those movies are on, I want to watch them.
You're like, and the
dude,
donkey
the scene
sang.
Where he meets the cat and he like does his big cat eyes. Oh my god! No.
Again with the
cat. It's
cats.
Like right up there, crawling through the shit. It's like this is yeah.
Yes. So you like cats and poop.
Cats and poop, man.
So
well, cats poop.
All we need is Tim Burton to do a musical adaptation of Cats, and you're there?
No, I hate Tim Burton. No. But I do love the musical Cats. I've seen it twice.
There you go. See?
So maybe I'm a
we're learning
biased.
A lot about you today.
I'm a little biased.
He cats are involved. But now, what do you feel about dogs?
No.
No, don't not a fan?
I mean, like, I don't hate them.
But you love cats.
But yeah, the cats.
So
just...
what do you think of the show Cat Dog?
I mean, I liked the cat part. Actually, yeah. I hate Cat Dog because it came on at the same time as Dragon Ball Z. And my sister really wanted to watch Cat Dog. And so...
there was a little conflict there.
Little...
who won?
It's an understatement. I mean, it was like... basically, once Trunks got on the show, I got my sister to like Trunks.
I don't even know what you're talking about.
He's talking about Dragon Ball
Z. Like
the,
yeah, he's like a pretty, ball. Ball, pretty boy character on
okay,
Dragon Ball.
Okay, let me know when you're done talking about it.
We'll just let Adam go to his next one.
Yeah.
Okay. No, I have no idea what you're
talking about. I talked about Shrek too much, and now I'm talking about Dragon Ball Z.
No, talk about it.
No, cool. I don't have an opinion about Dragon Ball. I know nothing about it.
He's trying to set you up so you can use Dragon Ball Evolution
Z.
Here. For
yeah.
Oh, no, seriously? Like, I wasn't being a douche about it.
No.
Well, not now.
No,
but,
I don't.
No, but when Dragon Balls was a thing, I didn't know what it was. I'm like, what's Dragon Balls?
You thought it was something for like?
I thought it was. Well, no, but I knew it was some kind of anime thing. But I was like the first time I was aware of it. I was like 13, and I was in Spain, and I was in a Virgin Megastore in Spain, and they had a Goku statue that was like taller than me. I'm like, who the fuck
that
is that?
Amazing.
What the fuck is Dragon Ball?
Did you think it was like some sort of new thing that people like VD that people were getting like like hey,
no.
Have you been overseas sleeping around? Do you have Dragon Balls?
I was aware that it was some sort of Japanimation, but I didn't know what it was. I was like, is it Street Fighter or something? But like, I didn't know.
It's like, fuck Blue Balls.
I got Dragon Balls. With a Z.
Yeah. All right. Adam, what is your number?
Random movie. All right. So I'm going to go with a movie I'm sure we've talked about a couple of times. 2008's Quantum of Solace.
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah.
That was an honorable
mention. I enjoy it, but it was disappointing after Casino Royale.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because it was weird that it was like a direct sequel, which had never happened before. And it does. You have to watch it together with...
Was it you who were telling me to watch it together?
No, it was Matt.
Oh, yeah.
But I agree with him. Yeah. If you watch them together, it's awesome. It's like an awesome little 4-hour-long James Bond movie.
Yeah.
But yeah, on its own, it was like, this is weird. Yeah. It was just very off-putting. And like, I still enjoy it, but it's just such a weird... I don't know. It's like you order the same thing all the time, and then they bring you something else on accident. And you're like, wait, what just happened? I get a vanilla shake, and you just brought me a chocolate shake. And that's not what I ordered. It messed
with
my head.
Was this the one with Gemma Arterton?
Gemma, yeah.
I don't know her.
Gemma Arterton?
Yeah. Arterton.
Arterton.
She's good looking, and she's covered in oil. I'm
covered in oil, which was a cool little flashback to Goldfinger. I like that.
Yeah.
But it was weird that it was this like the exact same story still.
Who was the villain that? It was the guy from the Diving Bell and
Diving
the Butterfly. Yeah. He's a good actor.
Matthew Amalric.
Mathieu.
Yes.
Yeah.
From Christmas.
Yeah, but
Tale.
But like I agree, like it was definitely a big disappointment, and the action wasn't even direct. I just like Robert Forster. Is it Robert Forster? No.
Mark Forster.
Yeah, Robert Forster from Delta Force. Jackie Brown. Mark Forster, like, I feel like he just didn't get action. And like,
oh, dude, they're like 1 to 2 second cuts.
Yeah, It was
like
MTV.
The first
like
big fight scene on the scaffolding, I didn't even know what the hell was going on.
Yeah.
Are you thinking of part one?
That's part one.
That's Casino Royale.
No. The second one, they're in a different scaffolding, not the chase. The chasing was fucking awesome.
Okay.
But like the second the second one, they're inside a building that's like already been built, but they're renovating it. And they're, I'd say it's this horrible scene. You can't even follow it. Like, he drops a gun and he, like,
it ends with him hanging by his leg on a rope or something.
Yeah,
it's that whole scene.
The
is
city
like,
chase. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, the, okay, so, so basically, like, the first scene is two chases. One on top of the It's like, it's the car chase, and then they get to M, and then you find out there's a mole, and then there, it goes into a foot chase.
Yeah.
Like, so it's a blur. And I like the car chase.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But it does get. There's a lot going on.
The cuts are, I mean, there's not even that much going on. They just cut so much. I don't know. I can't, my mind is not keeping up.
You're not ADD enough.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Whereas in the first one, man, it was like,
that parkour chase was awesome.
God, it was so long. And like the cuts were long. So it's like, you knew what was going on.
Well, and then Skyfall comes out and you're like, all right, this is awesome, and it made Quantum of Solace seem. It's like, it's not the same. Like, this is an awesome James Bond movie, and this is just like it's like filler.
Yeah, and I even like I didn't like it, and then I did rewatch it right after Casino because I was rewatching them before Skyfall.
Right,
and I still didn't like it. Even putting it into that context of this is one movie. This is a continuation of the first movie. I still didn't like it.
Well, because I feel like part of the problem with it is that since it's the same
story,
like, the same story, the stakes are lower somehow. Like, it's not like a new... Yeah. It's not the Javier Bardem crazy Joker Bond villain. It's like, all right, no, yeah, he's just trying to get revenge still. It's not... So,
how much have you ever lost
in a toy? And he's not... And it's like the... What were they doing? They're in, like, South America or something, getting all the water?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, who cares? Like,
at the same time, though... It's still no Die Another Day.
Yeah.
So it's got that going for it. No ice palaces.
I'm just saying, like if he didn't stop him, worst case scenario, that guy gets really rich.
Yeah.
Like, the world still goes on.
Yeah.
So that didn't help either.
And it felt like they were kind of running in place, because they weren't really developing that organization anymore.
Yeah.
They were just we're just going to use this organization that was in the first one. It's like, well, no, like... Is it Spectre or is something else going on? And they don't ever say it. It's just like,
they didn't expand on
it. We just don't know. We're just using them because there's a writer's strike and we had this left over.
Turns out it was Phil Spector all along.
Because the first one, remember, shot everybody. They're at like an opera or something.
Yeah.
And he like gets them to stand up and walk out. Mm-hmm. And that was just a big deal. It was like, oh God, these guys are all in it.
Yeah.
And then in the second movie, it was like that organization didn't matter.
Right. Yeah.
And that was like the whole point of the first one.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Good choice. Yeah, it's getting a little stronger. Your hatred.
It's growing. Hatred. Stronger. I can still enjoy it. I just have to watch them together.
Mm-hmm. All right. Kevin?
I think I'm going to keep up my hate for filmmakers.
Ooh.
So I'm going to set this one up first. And why the disappointment hurt so much. Okay, so I thoroughly enjoy The Sixth Sense.
Yeah.
Really good movie. Unbreakable. Could possibly occasionally pop into my top 15, top 20 favorite films of all time.
Bruce Willis.
And Signs has some of the best, like, just tense scenes that I've seen in, like, modern films.
Yeah.
And then a little film called Village comes out. And the first half is great.
Yeah.
And then what the fuck?
Yeah. That should have been called What the Fuck.
That should have been called What the Fuck. So I still had like a half a film where I was like, well, there was still some good there. So I wasn't quite heartbroken yet with M. Night. And then because of all the people complaining, all the critics making him cry every night after that movie, he decides to write a screenplay where he gets to kill a critic.
In the movie.
In the movie. And he makes another film that I'm expecting, I'm like, okay, he's got Paul Giamatti. Yeah, he's going to redeem himself. He's got a great cast. It's got like fantasy elements to it. This is going to be really interesting. Nope. I've like got angry in the movie theater watching that movie. I was like, why are you crying like a baby? And just the whole movie was just so he could kill a critic.
Yeah.
That's what the whole movie was about. It was like, I'm going to sit down the theme of my film. I'm going to kill a movie critic.
Yeah.
And I was just like, man, I didn't realize how big of a baby you were.
Yeah. and then he redeemed himself though. Cause he did The Happening. And that movie was a gem because it had Wahlberg in it.
It was a gem. Yes. Yeah.
And Zooey Deschanel. Like, why would... In what world are these people a couple?
A world where he needs them to give him money to make another bad movie.
Yeah. Yes.
He's like, all right, I'll make a movie with Zooey Deschanel. It's going to be terrible, but I want to make this movie.
Yeah. Okay, so let's talk about...
Where are all the bees going, guys? I haven't even seen it happening.
He's like, guys, where are all the bees going? He's like, they're migrating.
He's out of breath again.
So I enjoy, like you said, the first half of The Village is really cool. Jesse Eisenberg.
It's got awesome. Some tense moments.
Pitt, great cast. And my favorite scene is the scene where she has her hand out.
Yeah.
And she's waiting for Joaquin Phoenix. And then the slow motion scene. Loved it. And I'm like, this movie, as long as it ends well, this movie, he's back, you know? Well, he hadn't really gone anywhere.
Yeah, that was
his, but the problem was, you knew that he was directing the movie, so you knew that was going to be the ending of the movie.
Yeah, I guess so. Yeah,
because yeah. I mean, one of my favorite, I think it, yeah, Robot Chicken things is when they're making fun of M. Night Shyamalan. It's like, oh, with a twist, and like that's what he does. Like it's just like, oh, he didn't see that coming.
Yeah,
like no, I did because I saw your other three movies before this. I mean, as soon as I see what the status quo is, I'm like, all right, so the end's going to be the exact opposite of what this is. Yeah, so they're not in the past.
Yeah. And see, the thing is, I love The Sixth Sense. I love Unbreakable even more. Like, for me, they kept getting better. Like, Unbreakable is way better than The Sixth Sense. And Signs, for me, is way better than Unbreakable for me. Just because it was like a throwback movie. Like, it was like a Hitchcock movie.
Exactly.
Like, they didn't show you a lot, and even like people complained about the alien. I didn't care. Like it was just there for a minute, and it was done. I loved it, and I'm a big Joaquin Phoenix fan, so that helped a little bit. But then, The Happening, and then I didn't even see the new one. What is the new one called?
After Earth.
Did anybody see that?
No.
No.
Hey, you're skipping The Last Airbender.
Yeah. Honestly, he said the new one though.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, if your movie could be mistakenly heard as Afterbirth, it's probably not going to be good.
Yeah, yeah. Ugh. All right. Good, because you kind of you lumped in three movies in there.
Boom.
I like that. All right, so now question. Is there a way, can he redeem himself?
No.
Even if he doesn't...
If he makes a good movie and it seems interesting to me and I go see it and I'm like, okay, but it's still only, it's like putting a Band-Aid on the wound. It's not gonna be like, oh yeah, he's redeemed himself.
If he can make a movie that doesn't have a twist ending, yeah, that's actually good.
Yes. The twist is there's no twist.
Yeah. What if the twist is that at the end, like it's like a guy who invents a twist?
Wait, doesn't he have something else coming out?
I'm sure he does.
What if he makes a bad movie with a good ending, and that's the twist?
What if the movie is about the guy who came up with Twix, you know, and it's kind of like a twist. Twix ending.
No. Grasping straws.
All right, guys. Sorry. Well, the twist one kind of worked. All right. So we have three shitty movies by M. Night Shyamalan.
I fell asleep during Lady in the Water, so I can't really completely complain about it. But I do remember, no, I was like, this is really silly.
You should be happy about that.
And I'm drunk. I'm going to fall asleep now. Yeah. I was working at a movie theater at the time.
Were you going to pee or poop? Okay. All right. Brandon, what is your next pick?
All right. I'm going to get a lot of grief for this one because I know nobody else is probably going to be disappointed because they're all going to say it was supposed to be crap anyways. But I'm going to go back to last year's Abraham Lincoln Vampire Hunter.
Nobody is disappointed in that one because everybody knew it was going to suck.
It looked okay. Well, one, I don't like that director at all. Timur, whatever.
Timur.
However the fuck you say his name.
Berbatov or whatever.
I think he's a terrible, terrible director, and he should not be allowed to point cameras at people.
I enjoyed Night Watch and Day Watch.
I hated that movie so much. I only saw the first one.
Okay, so...
So how were you tricked into thinking this was going to be okay?
I read the book.
You liked it.
I think the book is great. And it's the same writer of the book that wrote the screenplay for the film, so I figure... You know, if anybody's going to get his source material right, it's going to be him.
The
first trailer came out. I thought it was good. I thought it looked like good, cheesy fun, and I love campy, cheesy stuff.
Yeah.
Movie, horrendous. It's like 5% of it, the movie is like the book. I'm like, this guy did not follow the book at all. I'm going to tell you right now, the villain that's created for the movie doesn't even exist in the book. So the entire backdrop of this film
is based on a lie.
It's just made up. Like, you know, spoiler alerts for everybody. The guy, Abraham Lincoln, who's supposedly trained by his dad to hunt vampires and all that. No, he's captured by the vampire. The vampire teaches him. And it's not like overnight the way it happens in this. And I don't know. Everyone's looking at me like...
Well, we're judging you.
I mean, I guess we are judging you for thinking that it was going to be good. Like, I mean, I could tell from the first trailer that it was going to be a piece of shit. And I went and saw it just to make sure. I'm like, I mean, it might not be, but I'm 99% sure that it's going to be terrible. And then it was.
Well, did you guys like Lincoln, the movie Lincoln, the Spielberg movie?
Awesome.
Yeah.
I wish that was a cast of Lincoln. We're like a vampire hunter. Imagine Danny Lewis just fucking hunting vampires.
Yes, that actually, yeah, that sounds awesome.
That'd be badass. Weekend style?
Yeah. And he's like, he's like running and he's like fucking hunting. How awesome would that be?
I would have bought a lot more of his like single-handed chopping down of trees. Yes. If it was Daniel Day-Lewis.
Yes. Yeah.
He's like, I have a passion in me. I must kill vampires.
But it was just so like, just like not even like the premise. Like nothing to do with the premise being outlandish. Like just basic story structure was so fundamentally bad. And like just weird jumps in time and leaps in logic and things that clearly couldn't happen. Like someone knowing something that they couldn't know because they weren't even in the room when it happens. Like you weren't there for that. The only reason you know that is because the writer knows it and he wrote it.
Yeah.
Right. I'm telling you, read the book. It's completely different.
I'm not going to give that guy money.
They just leave chapters out.
I'm not giving him money again.
We skip to the big ending, this big finale where they're like
stopping
the train.
What if he ships you his copy of his book?
The entire train sequence?
No, because I mean that's still promoting him because he paid for it.
And the entire train sequence? That does not happen in the book. Like this entire movie doesn't happen.
So here's my
thing. Is Anthony Mackie in the book?
I don't even remember. I've kind of blocked a lot of them.
The black guy.
I don't remember
Is there a black guy in the book?
I don't remember there being particularly a black guy in the book.
He didn't have a black best friend when he was growing up?
I don't recall a black best friend.
Okay.
What if it was Danny Glover? That would be amazing.
Wait, so Daniel Day-Lewis is Abraham Lincoln.
Oh, yeah. And Danny Glover is his black best friend.
I want to see this movie.
Yeah, I want to watch that.
At one point, does he say, I'm getting too old for this shit?
Oh, I mean, if it's Danny Glover, he has to.
Yes.
Yeah. But in old time, he speak. Thus thou so tired for thy time.
I don't know if you know this, but Abraham Lincoln was not in Elizabethan England.
But I really think this movie with Daniel Day-Lewis and Danny Glover has to be in Shakespearean.
Yeah. Shakespearean is going to be in Elizabethan English.
Yeah.
I have a pentameter.
That we use Daniel Lewis like native tongue. You know, he's British, so...
Also, they should give him some sort of impediment that he didn't actually have. Like, yes. He's got palsy or something.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Something, like, that just throws off the character a little bit.
So, they started off after he gets shot in the head.
Oh,
so
yeah.
So, he's dead. He's, like, decomposing.
If there's any studios he's out there play listening. Decomposing. Yeah. This is... You make this movie. This is going to be awesome.
I feel like they should just hire us to, like, reboot movies.
And it's going
to
be, like, Daniel Day-Lewis playing a decomposing body, like Anthony Hopkins played having a stroke, where he did it, like, all on his own. Like, he physically wouldn't move the side of his face.
And like, the studios would be like, why did they speak in, like, Elizabethan type of... And it's like, well, it just makes the movie... It gives it class.
Yeah.
You want class?
It ups the ante. Yeah.
It ups the ante. It gives it stakes, guys. The stakes are...
I feel it stresses the tragedy.
Yeah. And then what if it turns out that the deceased Abraham Lincoln actually wrote all of Shakespeare's plays?
Yeah.
Boom! What?
Anonymous Shakespeare vampire hunter.
Yes.
Yeah. All right. My number...
That sounds like an M. Night twist to me.
All right.
I'm trying to make a bad movie.
That's his next movie.
Yeah. He might be listening.
He's going to steal that idea. All right. My next pick is a movie from 1999. And my girlfriend loves these movies. She's going to fucking hate me for saying
this.
God,
is it Harry Potter?
No. It should have been. It's Star Wars Episode 1.
Oh, hell can yeah.
We just put all of them?
I can't talk about those movies with your girlfriend.
Yeah.
It gets heated.
Is it all one movie?
Very quickly.
I mean, this is a table full of people who love the original trilogy.
Yeah. And Ewoks, Battle for Endor. Love it. Don't care.
Christmas special?
Christmas special. Fucking rules. What's his name's in it?
Star Tours.
Star Tours, love it. Silly for it.
Oh yeah,
the original Star Tours.
What's the guy with diabetes that's in Ewoks? The Battle for Endor?
Wilford Brimley.
Wilford Brimley. Yeah, he's like, I'm Wilford Brimley, and I'm gonna save you from evil. And like they brought in like wizardry into that one, mm-hmm. the Battle for Endor. Yeah. But anyway, Episode 1. So excited! I'm like, you know what? I'm back. You know, like how awesome is that? We're gonna find out like how he went to the dark side. We're going to find out a lot of answers. And I found out one thing. Princess Leia's mom she's a pedophile.
That's all you found out?
That's all I found out.
I found out George Lucas is racist.
Well, that too. But more importantly...
I mean, if you go back and watch the originals, you can kind of tell in the originals that he was racist.
Yeah.
The only criminal was like Lando.
With the whole...
Well, the first one, Black Lando wasn't in it. So yeah. The whole first one, it was just like, whoops.
Yeah. All right.
I mean, but doesn't he have, one of his kids is Asian though, right? So he's like making up for it.
Yeah, he's trying.
Yeah. So 1, 2, and 3. Let's. I mean, 3 is not that bad. I mean, considering 1 and 2.
By comparison.
Yeah, but Jar Jar Binks is like could be the worst character in film history.
Can I just set up why this is such a huge disappointment for me? So I was like a sophomore in high school.
Yeah.
I went to the theater like in advance to buy tickets. I actually had the physical.
Yeah.
Because I had to go to school. I couldn't. My mom wasn't going to let me miss school.
Yeah.
For this movie, even though I did beg a little bit. I bought a ticket for a friend who wasn't really interested to go see it, so I had someone to go see it with me. Mm-hmm. I immediately left school to go stand in line for a showing that was later in the day so I could get good seats. Mm-hmm. And then I was so excited. I'm like, yes, finally I get my own I mean, I grew up with the originals, but these I get to see Star Wars in the theaters.
Yeah.
And
someone shat on your dream.
It hurt.
Yeah.
That was a rough night.
Dude, I laughed in the theater when he went no.
Yeah,
I swear to God that for I got like many Star Wars nerds yelled at me, like they were like
for laughing.
I was like, this is ridiculous. Who is this guy? It's fucking Darth Vader. Come on, I laughed. I got so many looks.
because Brandon and I went to all the midnight screenings of these. Mm-hmm. This is like our high school, post high school years, where we were all hanging out in the same crowd.
We're in the Goonies. Brandon. Yeah, this is our time.
This is back in the We Got Tickets.
Yeah.
Time.
And I actually waited in line for these movies. I didn't pull the I'm going to go hang out and I'll meet you guys after you wait in line all day, like I did for the Lord of the Rings movies. I actually waited in line for these movies.
Yeah.
And like the theater, they set up the TV and like played the original trilogy before, and like it was a cool spectacle. But then you get there and you get inside, and it's just like what just happened? Like, what? Why did all those cartoons just like shit on Star Wars? What are these weird, dumb robots?
Why did Anakin just throw a tantrum and go off on a speed racer?
Like, yeah.
You're not the boss of me.
So bad. Why did they cast Jake Lloyd in this movie? Yeah.
What happened to and then the thing was that like the Ewan McGregor, Liam Neeson parts are good. Like they're good actors, and I enjoy those parts. But that's the only thing I enjoy. Then Jar Jar Binks shows up, then I don't enjoy them anymore.
With the exception of even the younglings. God, man, he did. I love that dude. He's a great actor, but man, he botched that. Like,
yeah. Well, I mean, when you're handed a pile of shit to read, it's kind of hard to turn it into gold.
And you're just acting in a room of green.
I know, dude. That's I lost so much respect for George Lucas.
So has everybody seen what The People versus George Lucas? Where like they have like footage of him in like the pre-production process, and he's got his like little yellow legal pad script that he's writing, that he's working on of Phantom Menace, and it's just like, oh, that if someone had only like burned that. Yeah. I could go back in time and just set it on fire.
That could have been amazing.
Yeah.
Well, let's and move just on. So we could be here. We could just spend an episode talking about
absolutely. Yeah. That's why I didn't even write it down.
Yeah, I kind of figured it was just a given.
Yeah.
if you say Star Wars 3 times when you're in the bathroom, George Lucas appears.
George Lucas. That would be
does he give me my money back?
No, he takes more.
Yeah, he actually takes more money from
it. Yeah, he actually charges you
and an appearance shirt fee off your back.
What if you know what would have been really cool? If George Lucas, when he sold Lucasfilms to Disney, and he said, hey, if you have your ticket stub from episode 1, 2, or 3, mail it in and I'm going to give you back your money. He would have gained so much respect. Like, I would have been like, oh, he's amazing.
You know what? If he pulled like what Clooney did for Batman and Robin and actually on video apologized for the movie, I would actually have a little more respect for him.
I would too.
Yeah.
Or he could say, hey, with my $4 billion, I'm going to buy everybody in the world 2 tacos from Jack in the Box on me. I'd be okay
I'd
with
rather
that.
Just have the apology on video.
I want to see everybody in the world having 2 tacos. Rory, what's your next movie?
I'm going to go with Staying Alive.
Oh, wow.
You've seen Staying Alive?
Yeah. Because I loved Saturday Night Fever.
Dude, you and me both did.
Yeah, dude. I
do love Saturday. John Travolta. You and Gene Siskel.
Yeah.
It was so, his favorite movie.
Yeah. So sexy, man.
He bought that suit.
I know that I can do the dance. I can do the...
You know the routine?
Yeah, because it's on World of Warcraft.
Okay, I'm sorry. That sentence doesn't even make sense to me. You know, or that's... You know the Saturday Night Fever dance because it's on World of Warcraft.
Not
because
it was in the movie.
Yeah. No. I mean, of course I'd seen the movie before.
Okay, I was going to say the World of Warcraft made you go and find out where the dance came from.
What makes more sense is if that you learned the dance because you learned it with Johnny Five when he learned it in the original Short Circuit. Like, that I would have understood. Yeah. But the fact that you learned it from World of Warcraft, that's over my head. Well, basically,
World of Warcraft, like, people still don't know that half of those dances in that game are from other things. And so that's like the whole reason I played the character I played. God damn it, I did it again. But anyway, back to Boogie Nights. I mean, Staying Alive.
Boogie Nights.
Good lord.
That would be a good double feature.
Staying Alive and Boogie Nights?
Yes.
Oh, man. It just, like, it lacked everything that Saturday Night Fever had. Like, the dancing, subpar.
So we should get Sylvester Stallone in here so you can talk to him about his movie?
I just, like I was saying before, I don't know directors and stuff, so I looked it up before I talked about it. I was like, oh.
Yeah.
Oh, now I know.
He's got that little cameo in it, too, like where he bumps into him on the street.
Oh, yeah, yeah,
but the thing was, at this time, he was making good movies still. Stallone was. He was making, writing good movies and stuff. So, you know, that would probably have been a disappointment back then to people, like...
I love just how crazy this movie is.
Yeah.
It's so bizarre. And like the crazy diva lady, like she scratches his face. I love how silly this movie is.
His headband.
But yeah. Just like when you compare it to Saturday Night Fever.
Well, yeah, it's totally
and
different
had that
movie.
Whole
I don't
super
know why
dark
I don't
tone.
Know, I don't know why they're like I feel like it's just it should have been its own standalone.
Well, I
thing.
Just what was the point of Staying Alive? That's what I was
we're gonna have John Travolta dance.
Yeah, yeah. That's what it came down to is the movie had no anything.
I just picture the studio like throwing money at him. Dance, monkey.
Dance. Wear the suit again. What if they should have made a superhero movie where when he puts on the suit, he becomes like a disco superhero?
Disco superhero.
Wasn't he Industry Man?
He should have been. Disco Boys. No, I agree with you. Because I love Saturday Night Fever. And
of course, I didn't watch these when they came out because I'm a little younger.
Yeah.
But, I did watch them in order.
That's a really good pull, like out of nowhere, like a sequel to a movie that came out fucking in like.
But I did watch them in order, so it was a disappointment to me because I had just got done watching Saturday Night Fever.
See, you know what's weird? I feel like I saw Staying Alive before I saw Saturday Night Fever.
I think I did see Staying Alive before I saw it.
Because I remember they showed it on like before VH1 even showed movies. I just remember seeing it, and it was just so weird. I'm like, I don't know what's happening, but it's crazy. And I'm kind of just intrigued by how crazy it is. And, like, the weird spandex and the drama.
Mm-hmm.
And Sylvester Stallone bumping into that dude.
Yeah.
On the street.
Man.
I actually probably rewatch it so I could understand what's so... I mean, actually, no, I don't need to rewatch. I can... I mean, the major disappointment is you can't go from cool disco
dudes
to, like,
too.
Weird modern dance Broadway show, like... I don't even remember what the name of the show was, but crazy, like cats without cats.
Yeah,
yeah,
yeah.
It's a weird leap.
Yeah,
like,
and you don't really think that that's where the character at the end of Saturday Night Fever is going.
It's gonna go.
It's like, wait, what weird left turn did he take off of that bridge at the end of the movie where he wound up being a Broadway dancer?
Well, like the his friend dies,
right?
So you think he would give up dancing or something? Like he's like, I need to get my fucking life in order, so I'm not gonna go dance. I'm gonna become a normal human.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Nothing against dancing. I love dancing, but.
You love dancing?
I do love dancing.
You love cats and dancing?
Cats and dancing and disco.
Yeah.
Well, I got to tell you about this book, Dancing with Cats. You should check out.
Holy crap, I've actually seen this
book. Oh, I got it for Savannah for Christmas. It's a great book.
I want to see it. No joke.
No, good pull, dude. I didn't. Thanks. That was, I don't know why. They should have been on the list. I guess there's too many.
But I don't remember being disappointed.
There's
going to
be a part two of this
so
episode. All right, Adam, what is your next movie?
Okay.
Your next disappointment.
My next disappointment is from 2006, and it's Superman Returns.
America was disappointed then.
America was very much disappointed. I think the reason why I can still say I don't completely hate this movie is because it came out right around the same time as X-Men The Last Stand. And comparatively, I'm like, all right, well, I could sit through Superman Returns again, but X-Men The Last Stand just makes me want to punch someone.
No, see, this movie I hated more because I'm like, Bryan Singer left the other one to do this one? Really?
Yeah.
And then
yeah.
I hated him more. And then, yeah. This is the one I call...
So you resent this movie because it let Brett Ratner direct X-Men
yes.
The Last Stand.
Yeah. Yeah.
I don't know. That movie was so bad that I was like, all right, well, it just made this one seem better in my eyes. And then Man of Steel just made it seem even better. But I liked how they were trying to like tie it into the whole Richard Donner Superman 1 and 2.
Yeah.
But it was very disappointing. I do think Kate Bosworth, Lois Lane, was
horrible.
Way bitchy.
Yeah.
Superman and was a creepy stalker.
He's a stalker.
But I loved like all the peripheral stuff. Like I liked this. I liked Kevin Spacey on the side. Like he had weird, funny stuff going on. Him and Parker Posey. I liked that. I don't know. I didn't completely hate it. It was definitely a disappointment. That's why it's higher on the list.
No Ned Beatty going with Mr. Luthor.
No Ned Beatty. Yeah. That's a weird.
No Ducky, you know?
Oh, well, I'm okay with that.
it wasn't a disappointment for me just because I'm so over Superman. Like I don't think I've really ever liked Superman.
Part one is really good.
It's okay. Superman is a very antiquated hero.
Yeah.
Well, it's not even. And it's just like he's too good, and so he's boring.
I hear that all the time.
But you got to. It's comparing society to Superman is one of the interesting things about Superman. It's like, yeah, okay, he's this great thing. So like, that makes you look at yourself.
Ooh. And there's a dichotomy
well,
there.
It hasn't.
I don't know. I feel
and like, I've never okay, been entertained so by a Superman up, movie.
I grew up watching
other than laughter
the Superman series with my grandma, like the reruns of the George Reeves Superman, black and white. Yeah. And so, like having that, like I don't know, like that and the Max Fleischer cartoons, and then the Christopher Reeve movies. Like I've always really liked Superman, and I like he can be. I like the dichotomy where he can be what you aspire to be. Like, oh, I wish I could be as good as Superman. And yeah, he's like, he's got all this power and he is basically a god on Earth, but he has to deal with that. Mm-hmm. But I also like the flip of that coin was like the Frank Miller, like he's also a super fascistic character. Where he's like the world, the god of the world, basically. And you haven't seen that in a movie, really.
And so see, much. And that's what I'm saying is as far as movies go, Superman has just completely failed me.
Well, maybe,
I love the Christopher.
And I love the Christopher. I've never been able to connect. Like, because Spider-Man is so much easier to connect to. Like, you could be that kid kind of thing.
Spider-Man is a fucking asshole. I hate Spider-Man. Like, growing like when I was a kid. See, that's the thing. Like, it's like this weird growing up thing.
That's weird.
Where Superman for me, like, I'm good with him still. But like, as I get older, Spider-Man's a fucking punk. I'm like, dude, shut the he's like a punk teenager, especially the Andrew Garfield Spider-Man. I'm like, I want to fucking punch that kid in the face. Like, he's just a dick. Like, he's like a smarmy, spoiled, entitled douche, and I don't like him. And like, that's just the epitome of Spider-Man right now. So
but imagine being Spider-Man.
I'm not a teenager anymore. I don't like that's not me. Like I
feel like when I'm watching these movies, though,
I'm tapping
the inner.
I want to be Whiskey Man, the guy who enjoys whiskey and a nice movie and a nice light dinner.
Yeah, no, I'd rather be Batman than Spider-Man.
Yeah,
and that's fucked up. So I don't know what to tell.
Well, like you, Adam, I feel like I grew up as well with the black and white Superman and like the Donner ones, and to me, that's interesting. Like that. I feel like there's like theories about like the Man of Steel of how like it was all set up for the sequel. Mm-hmm. I mean, and part of me was like, oh, wait a minute, like all the damage in Man of Steel, like if they're going with Superman versus Batman, it makes fucking total sense. And if they're planning this all along, it's kind of like hey, look at the Superman and he's fucking shit up and he's, you know, he's gonna kind of it may work. I don't know. I'm looking forward to see what comes up.
Yeah,
I still haven't seen the new one. After, and I'm going to have to watch it now just because of that.
After Man of Steel.
Wait for a video.
And not knowing who Batman is, and having Zack Snyder still directing it, I'm not on the rah-rah bandwagon.
The only thing that's getting me on the bandwagon is that he referenced a great, I mean, mind you, it's a great Batman story that involves Superman.
Yeah.
But he referenced that. he didn't say it was going to be about this, but that's the only thing is he took something good that I love, yeah. And he referenced it to hint at the fact that Batman's going to be in it.
Yeah,
that's the only reason I'm interested. But Man of Steel, the more I mean, I already was just like about it, but the yeah. more I think about it and talk about it with people, I just start hating the movie so much.
Yeah, me too. It's kind of for me, it's like Star Trek Into Darkness, where I like it at the surface, but the more I dig, the more I'm like, oh, that movie was shit.
And if I was doing yeah. straight ahead disappointments where it's movies that I don't like, yeah. Man of Steel would be on this.
I was so yeah. excited yeah. about that
me too,
movie.
Me too.
And with Superman Returns, this was around time, I think maybe because the movie was coming out, I started immersing myself comic-wise in like some of the classic stories, mm-hmm. like Superman for All Seasons and like Red Sun and yeah. JLA the Nail. And so I was super, super excited about seeing a new Superman film from Bryan Singer. I was like, this is going to be good. And then it was just okay. So
yeah.
that I wanted it to be better. As the disappointment I had.
I wanted crazy Lex Luthor, not
yes.
I'm gonna make it Kryptonite Island Lex Luthor.
Yeah,
which is kind of silly.
Yeah, I want the next Luthor to be like a wild card, to kind of be like the Joker was.
I wanted like, oh hey, I cloned myself, but I'm pretending to be my own son, Lex Luthor.
Yes,
not I'm still just bald douchebag gonna make an island out of Kryptonite.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. All right, Kevin, what is your next film? Your next disappointment, by the way.
Oh, geez. I was trying to decide to go with filmmakers again, because there's a pair of filmmakers that I love that made two films that just every time I think about them, it's just I'm flabbergasted. And the two films are Intolerable Cruelty and Lady Killers.
Oh, man. Yeah. Those are big disappointments.
Because you look at their list of films, and it's just like,
Let's talk about Intolerable Cruelty, because this was after...
Are those two that they didn't write also?
Yes.
Yeah,
okay. They're actually adaptations of other...
I think they might have written Intolerable Cruelty, but it was an adaptation, I think.
Yeah.
Or a remake. But I remember thinking, okay, I'll go ahead and say, till this day still, my fear... I have to go with my favorite Coen Brothers movie is Oh Brother, Where Art Thou? I don't know. I just love that movie. And having seen Clooney in that and been like, these guys are a perfect match. Clooney, Coen Brothers, I'm in. And then I'm like, oh, I'm Billy Bob Thornton. He was great in The Man Who Wasn't There. It's going to be amazing. And then it wasn't.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, and
it's sad to just talk about it.
You were just expecting... I think because even the trailer looked intriguing and yeah. it showed like their humor, and I watched it and I don't even remember really laughing at all in the film, and I was just flabbergasted. I was just in complete shock that this came from these two.
And it isn't like, I know like The Big Lebowski didn't get like a really warm reception because it came after Fargo and everyone was expecting like a Fargo type movie, and then they gave people like a stoner comedy. But I mean, video was really good to that, and it's beyond a cult following. Like it's mm-hmm. just it's a huge movie. The Big Lebowski is so. To me, like I'm like, well, maybe video, maybe I have life in video, but no, I rewatch those movies, and they don't have any. Tom Hanks is kind of funny. There's some funny parts, but besides that, like not really. It's two movies I don't wish to revisit, but you know. They've redeemed themselves. That's the thing that
yes.
those guys, you know, have gone way beyond redeeming themselves.
And it wasn't, even though I didn't enjoy either movie, neither one was really like a mark against them in mine. I'm like, because they had done no wrong in my mind up until that point. So it's like, all right, well, they had two little, well, I was like, all right, well, they were probably just doing it for the studio. I don't know. It's like weird, the concession, the things you tell yourself to make it. I was like, oh, no, it's okay. Like, they'll be back on the game, and then they do. Like, mm-hmm. It's just... Yeah.
And I would say the films are disappointments, but they were never, ever, like, a disappointment for me. I was never going, like, after Lady Killers, I was like, oh, I don't want to see whatever the Coen brothers are going to make again. It's like, no, they're very interesting guys. They're going to do something good. Yeah. They just had... Sometimes there's bumps in the road.
Yeah. It's kind of like Woody Allen, like he's done a couple movies that you're like, what is he doing? But to me, like, I justify it by, oh, that he's experimenting with this or that. And I don't know. Like Soderbergh, like, so there's some movies that, like, some people complain about, but whatever.
Mm-hmm. It's kind of like the opposite of what was upsetting about Shyamalan's
yes.
stuff, where it's like, all right, well, he's just trying to do the same thing over and over again, and I don't know. But they were clearly trying to do yeah. different things. I'm like, all right, yeah. well, I can respect trying something different, mm-hmm. even if I didn't necessarily like it. Because I also, there's a couple of them that I wasn't on board for, but I still like, I'll go see a Coen Brothers movie because it's a Coen Brothers movie.
Oh, of course.
Yeah.
I mean, Llewellyn Davis looks pretty awesome.
Yeah.
It looks so good.
All right. Brennan, what is your next pick?
All right. My next pick is another remake. This one from 2006, Poseidon.
Because you love the original, the Poseidon Adventure.
So
big,
good.
Big fan of the original. I'm a big disaster film supporter. I even like The Core quite a bit.
I would take The Core over Poseidon.
I liked The Core. Yeah.
So, you know, yeah. I'm pretty forgiving when it comes to disaster movies. This one, though, is just a outright disaster.
I remember we saw The Day After Tomorrow like 3 times in theaters.
Yeah, we
did. In that same weekend, I think. I think we saw it like 3 days in a row.
Hey, what do you want to do today? Want to see it again?
Yeah.
Okay. But, no, I mean, you got Jack Burton. I mean, everything on paper sounds like it's going to be good. You got Kurt Russell. You got Emmy Rossum from Day After Tomorrow.
Mike Vogel.
He got Johnny Drama.
Johnny Drama. Yeah.
Richard Dreyfuss playing a gay guy.
Richard Dreyfuss.
Yes. Mr. Holland's Opus.
Bringing some extra credibility to it. And
Snake Plissken.
On a boat.
And what, Rico.
I'm telling you, if all these characters were in this movie would be amazing. Snake Plissken.
Well, I got the actors and their characters.
The guy from Cloverfield. Turns out he wasn't dead. He was on the Poseidon.
Kurt Russell playing in two roles. He's also Jack Burton.
Yeah.
So wait, is Emmy playing her character from Phantom of the Opera?
Shameless.
Shameless. Yeah. Okay, Shameless. She's like a slut. Yeah. And then you have Johnny Drama, Gwen Victory. This movie would be amazing.
Wait, and then Richard Dreyfuss is playing Mr. Holland, or is he playing Matt Hooper?
He's playing Matt Hooper.
Ooh, okay. Yeah, Matt Hooper. Yeah, Matt Hooper.
And then a shark gets in.
Well, that's the whole thing. The twist is that at the end they're like waiting to be saved, and then he's the one that gets eaten by a shark. And he's like, "No, Quint was right. I shouldn't have worn the life jacket." But yeah, so I agree with you. This movie, and the thing is that Wolfgang Peters had done cool stuff before this. Like, I enjoyed The Perfect Storm. I enjoyed Troy. He did that before this, right?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
I didn't hate Troy.
And I don't believe he's done anything since then. This has he?
I think didn't he do Das Boot?
Yes, he did do Das Boot. I like Das Boot.
Me too. So
this, obviously he knows his way around the ocean.
Yeah, I mean, he's been around the block or around the pool. But I was looking forward to this, and then it just kind of he shat on my fucking eyes.
It kind of sank.
Yeah, pink eye. Yeah, it did. You're right.
Well, I mean, he gave us a warning sign right away. Fergie's in it.
Oh, that's right.
So, I mean, that was clearly, I was like, all right, well, there's blood in the water right there.
Yeah.
Fergie's on that boat.
Yeah. All right. Good pick. My next film is, what year is this from? It is from 1990. Big disappointment. I was a big fan of all these movies. 1, 2, 3, and 4. And I'm like, this movie's just got to get better because 4 was the best one out of all those movies. So far. And then Rocky V came out. And I'm like, who the fuck is Tommy Gunn? Fuck that guy. And then I felt bad because I wished him... I'm like, I hope this guy dies. And then, bam, he died. And I felt bad. Because I'm like, I killed him. I wished him.
You wished him. Yeah.
You know, I'm guessing a good number of people in America were probably making that same wish. So it wasn't just your fault.
Yeah. And then... okay, I feel bad talking about him because he's passed away too. But Sage Stallone was a horrible actor. I'm sorry. I'm glad he got behind the camera. He was doing great work restoring like old films, like Grindhouse films. He had his own like production company where they were restoring old, cool stuff that was on DVD and stuff. But anyway, he's a horrible actor. What are you doing, Rory? What are you putting your keys on the fucking table?
Like you're like hitting the chairs.
He's pulling out the D&D dice. We're gonna start playing the game.
Start doing some dancing, some old school Staying Alive dancing. Yeah, this movie just sucked. Like to me, like I love Rocky 1. Rocky 2 was okay. Rocky 3 had Mr. T. Rocky 4 was amazing. Like montages up the ass, dude. Three.
That's the subtitle
montages.
Of the movie, Rocky IV, the montage.
Yeah, like the montages could be music videos unto themselves. They were great. And then he fought a country in Rocky IV, you know? And then Rocky V came out, and I was like, fuck this shit, dude. Stallone let me down. And then staying alive.
Part of the problem with Rocky V is the same reason why Rocky II is not that great.
Yeah.
Because he's playing, like, dumb Rocky.
Yeah,
it's like, Rocky, come on. Like, you were a little slow in the first one, but, like, he's, like, at his dumbest in 2 and 5.
Yeah.
And it's just, it's like, you're painful to watch.
But he did redeem himself with Rocky Balboa.
Rocky Balboa was amazing.
Awesome, yeah. And
I was like, they completely disavow Rocky. Like, that never happened. Yeah. No one ever mentions, hey, remember that time you had a street fight with Tommy Gunn?
No, I was like, no.
What are you talking
never about? Never happened. Just punched him in the face. Yes. I enjoyed it. Like, I just the fact that, like, Adrian was gone.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I kind of resented that at first when I saw, like, that she wasn't in it. But I'm like, man, this works. If she'd be in it, it wouldn't have worked because he wouldn't have fought. He only fought because she wasn't there, mm-hmm, you know? Mm-hmm. But now I hear rumors that there might be a unofficial kind of sequel. Did you guys hear about this?
Well, I heard, Creed? Not unofficial, but yeah, like...
Like a side story.
Yeah, like they wanted Stallone's blessing to do it.
Yeah.
Ryan Coogler and Michael B. Jordan.
Yeah. Huh. And he's going to do it, right?
I have no idea.
I think he's already agreed to do it. But it's a movie called Creed, and it's going to be about...
Apollo Creed's grandson.
Yeah. And he's going to be training him. Rocky's going to train Apollo Creed's grandson.
Okay.
So it could be really cool. So yeah. I'm excited about it. It's kind of like a side story.
Can they have a montage to Hearts on Fire again, though?
Oh, yeah.
Running on the beach.
It's like, ding, ding, with the short shorts. Oh, man. Memories, guys. Rory, what's your next movie? Talk to me, Goose.
All right. This one. Oh, man, I was so excited for this one. Because just the trailers had me going. It was a superhero movie,
mm-hmm,
but it wasn't like regular superheroes. It was a new guy.
Ooh.
And Hancock really let me down.
What?
Yeah.
I thought you were gonna go with Hebrew Hammer.
No, I felt like I mean it started off so great and I loved where they were going with it. I loved the superhero that they didn't really want to be a superhero.
Yeah.
And then it just got like convoluted and like the whole mythology aspect and it just got too complicated for itself.
I enjoy the first half of the movie because it's one movie, and then the second half the tone changes and it becomes a whole different
completely
movie.
Changes. Yeah.
I
wanted that first half the whole time.
I did enjoy the unrated version because there's a scene, the sex scene, and it explains a lot of stuff that I always wondered about Superman, like how does he have sex? And he like throws her off when he's, you know, about to come to completion. And he shoots two holes through his motorhome, and it's really funny because it's really dark. It's way darker than the PG-13
version.
I need
to borrow the unrated version from
I want to see that.
I don't have it, but someone lent it to me.
I gotta find a copy of it. I still like the original cut though.
Yeah.
I like Hancock.
I like I said, I like the first half and I like elements of the second half, but it just is, it's two separate movies. I think it did work, and I just but to me, it kind of made me like want another Superman movie. When I saw this, I'm like, oh, this would be good. Imagine Superman was just tired of fighting crime and just said, "Fuck it, I'm gonna be an asshole." Like, I'm like, that'd be awesome. If this is Superman, it'd be an awesome movie.
They did that.
Who's the chick?
The second half of Superman 3. So you want the first half of Hancock and the second half of Superman, or the middle of Superman 3?
Yeah, I guess so.
Well, I mean, we could just go back to Man of Steel and you could travel back in time and listen to his father and then you just don't have anything.
Yeah, yeah. And I know Michael Mann at one point was going to direct this movie and he stayed on as producer and he's in it actually. So, when Jason Bateman is giving like the boardroom speech, he's one of the guys in the boardroom. But I'd be interested to see Michael Mann's version of a superhero movie.
There'd be a lot less female character development.
Yeah. Be 2.5 hours.
It'd be 2.5 hours long. There'd be a great... That shootout would have been way longer. Like, half-hour long shootout.
And it'd be, like, in real time, real, like, full load.
I think... Oh, shit. Okay. This just reminded me of a movie I just saw. Sidebar.
Movie
Sidebar? Michael Mann's shootout. Yeah. I saw Drug War.
Oh.
That Chinese movie.
Johnny Toe?
Johnny Two. Or Toe?
Yeah.
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 Yeah. One of the most brutal shootouts I've ever seen.
Really?
It's like 15 minutes long.
Gotta check it out.
I think you would have made Michael Mann proud. But really? Very, very brutal. It's like, what just happened?
Nice. I gotta check this out.
Yeah. It was good. It was a good quality Chinese action movie.
Where'd you see
movie.
It?
At the Limelight.
Playhouse 7?
Yeah, Playhouse 7.
Oh, wow. Did you see it, Kevin?
No, but I saw it's playing there and I want to go see it.
I might see it. All right. Good pick, though. I mean, even though I liked the first half, the second half kind of got
me. And that's what disappointed me, is I wanted it to continue.
I liked it until he got out of jail. Like, all the jail stuff was cool, too. Like, he was kind of, like, lonely, and when he, like, jumps out of the prison to get the ball, and then...
Well, once Charlize Theron, like, revealed herself.
I
didn't like it. Charlize Theron's so hot, though. And I felt like everybody that saw that movie didn't get it, and I had to explain what was going on to them with the whole Charlize Theron part.
Yeah.
And I didn't like that either.
I enjoyed it, and it also, it's another one of those movies that benefited from another movie coming out before that I really hated. I was like, all right, well, the next movie I see after this is going to be that many times better just because it's not wanted. So,
okay.
Yeah. Again, that director who I don't like.
Timber.
Yeah.
All right. Adam. Next movie?
Okay. Where are we? Would this be number two?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
This is... All right, okay, I'll just play these because they go well. My last
go two and one. That way we could wrap it up.
Okay.
Nicely.
Well, they work together well, and I talked about them before, and that is Godfather Part 3 and The Dark Knight Rises.
Okay.
All right.
Because they have the same problem where they... The end of a trilogy... Where they don't get to end it the way they want to because they don't get a cast member. One died and one opted out because he didn't get paid enough.
Yeah.
And they both get really tied up in dealing with Wall Street and banking, which is a really, really exciting film going when you've got a mob movie or a superhero movie. Everyone wants to talk about banking and the collapse of Wall Street. So they both kind of stumble over that. But I still enjoy them, but they're definitely... I enjoy them for what they are, but they're not the movie that I wanted.
Yeah.
And not the movie that I know I was supposed to get if it weren't for other outside forces conspiring against the world.
I think
the
that's the perfect thing I've been wanting to say to people about Dark Knight Rises, because it was, I mean, I didn't hate it.
Yeah, I didn't hate it
either. That's exactly how I feel, is what you just said. It wasn't what I wanted.
Yeah. Well, it wasn't what we wanted, and it wasn't what we were supposed to get.
Yeah.
There were aspirations, and like we could... If in a perfect world we would have got the Joker again,
Besides
we would
the
have
lambs.
Been there. Yes.
Yeah.
And we were robbed not just of a great actor, but of a great end to a trilogy.
Yeah. Right.
And just like him not even being able to give us the movie that he had originally intended. And that's the same thing that happened with Coppola. Like he wanted to have each story be about a different brother, but then he couldn't cast the linchpin of Godfather 3 because the studio wouldn't give him enough money to pay him a commensurate rate with Pacino.
It's funny. Couldn't Coppola just flip the money himself? Like, fuck it, I want to make this movie. I'll pay him out of my pocket.
I don't know. I mean, he does have that winery.
I know. He could have not built the winery and paid Tom Hagen.
Borrowed some money from George Lucas. Be like, hey, remember that time where I hooked you up with all those jobs growing up?
Remember American Graffiti?
Star Wars money.
Yeah. Float me a couple million, dude. Pay this, you know.
Could have asked Tom Cruise, be like, hey, you're gonna buy a boat for Scorsese. Can you buy Robert Duvall for me?
Yeah. Buy him for me.
Yeah.
For the people who don't know, apparently, I heard Jonathan Nolan talking about this, how part three of the Dark Knight series would have been a Silence of the Lambs type movie, where it'd be Joker in jail, and then Batman would have to go to Joker to catch another villain.
Oh, God.
So it'd be, you know,
that already sounds beautiful.
Yeah, it was like the Killing Joke.
Yeah. So, I would love that movie. That would have been amazing, good ending. But
yeah, and it's like as much as I like, again, as much as I like Tom Hardy, Andy Garcia, those characters aren't the Joker and Tom Hagen. Like that's not what I wanted. I wanted Tom Hagen and Pacino, and I wanted Batman and the Joker.
Yep.
I felt like that one in a series that was just like striving to be realistic.
Mm-hmm.
That one was the least realistic.
Yeah, it got way out there. And
yeah.
It just, I don't know.
And it still wasn't bad. It just wasn't as realistic as the first two were made out to be.
Yeah. All right, Kevin, what are your last two films?
So I guess I'll talk about two franchises, both favorites since I was a child. One of the films is one of my favorite films of all time.
Ooh.
The other two of the films, I mean, the whole trilogy could basically be considered like top 20, top 30 favorites.
I think you're going to mention one of my movies.
One of them, South Park, it's probably one of my favorite episodes of South Park, just because it really did feel like you got raped or at least the character was raped. Okay. The character, one of the characters involved, his name is Dr. Jones.
Yep, that's my number one.
And then the other...
supposed to be one of my other ones.
...is a prequel to a series that involves aliens.
Okay. Okay, you're one of
the
two.
Breaking out the big guns.
So Prometheus...
And
I was about to vomit. and
stifle yourself.
And Indiana Jones and the Crystal Skulls.
God, I still haven't even seen it. I haven't seen either of those movies.
You're good.
Do yourself a favor.
Because I'm absolutely terrified.
Yeah. Don't do that. Don't. Just take that to your grave.
Yeah.
I'm serious. Like when you're on your deathbed, go, hey, I've had a mediocre life. But at least I didn't see Indiana Jones and the Crystal Skull. Like,
Prometheus? Be
happy in the knowledge. Yeah.
I was lucky with Prometheus because everybody that was going to go see it went to see it in 3D. And I was like, you know, I really enjoy Aliens. I want to watch this how I want to watch it. I'll wait a day and go see it regular, like how I like to watch movies. I guess I lucked out.
Yep.
And I had to waste Steam money.
Yeah. Well, let's talk about Indiana Jones. We shouldn't even talk about it, dude. Like, I feel like... It's my number one disappointment.
It is. It's like you don't want to remember those awful moments in your life. You don't want to recreate those. So almost like talking about it.
And here's the thing that Shia LaBeouf, I like Shia LaBeouf. I think he's a good actor. I think he hasn't picked certain roles that I... The thing is, he now has the power to pick anything he wants. That's what Transformers gave him.
Mm-hmm.
They're shitty movies, but that's what that gave him. The juice to go, hey, you know... I want to do this movie for $2 million. I want to make a movie where I have sex on film called Nymphomaniac. But so I was excited. I'm like, okay, I like that actor. I like where this is going, kind of. I like Raywin Stone. Where is this going? And then the refrigerator scene.
That was just the start of it.
I feel like we should just leave it at that. Like, there's too many things to talk about this movie. Like, it just we should just write a paper. What's wrong with this movie?
Have an episode. Yeah. Well, when you have standalone episodes, one about Kingdom of the Crystal Skull, one about the Star Wars prequels.
Yeah.
Yes.
One about Prometheus.
I have a question about
Prometheus,
Indiana Jones movie.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Should there have ever been a fourth movie, or did they just do it?
Yeah,
wrong?
It was called Tintin.
Yeah. Yeah. Tintin was a way better sequel to Indiana Jones. And, yeah.
All right.
That's true.
Yeah, no. I was just wondering if it was just like, it was so sacred, they just, anything they did would have been horrible?
No.
Or
no.
Just...
Nope. No.
That was all Lucas. I blame Lucas for that.
I can believe it. I'm on that train. I haven't even seen it. I'll be on that train.
Yeah. Damn him, dude. He should give us back our money for that, too. Fucking donating your money to charity. Give back the people, Eric.
The only way he can redeem himself in my eyes is a new Howard the Duck movie.
Okay, I don't know about
that's the only way.
I was going to say he could give us the original theatrical versions of the original trilogy on Blu-ray.
Well, that's going to happen now, isn't it? Disney owns.
They don't. Fox still owns the DVD rights.
Yeah.
So they own them for a while now. So, just because Disney has it doesn't mean we're getting.
Well,
the other thing is,
he's out of control of that.
He's not in control of it, but Fox is. Fox owns the DVD rights.
But, I mean, they could release it so they could sell another Fox set.
They could, but he also said that there is no existing print of the original cut.
Ah, oh, fuck him.
So he can just be like, oh, yeah, it doesn't exist anymore. So even if it does exist, he doesn't have to give it to us.
He's like Gogol. He wrote this great masterpiece, and then he just burned the latter half of the book, so you have no idea what's going to happen. He's like, oh, hey, here's the original trilogy. I'm going to burn it after I change it.
Yeah. Bastard. All right.
We took it to a dark place.
We went to a really dark place, dude. It's kind of sad.
So, Brandon, bring us out of this dark place.
Prometheus, real quick. Prometheus, there's so many things wrong with it.
I own the quadrilogy. The first three movies I'll watch anytime. And I've actually rewatched Resurrection a bunch of times now, and I'm not...
You're not a hater.
No, I'm not a hater.
Yeah.
This movie, it looked... The trailer just built this movie up and made it look so good.
Yeah,
so good.
If this had nothing to do with aliens, it's still a bad movie.
Xenomorphs.
Yeah, it's still a bad movie.
Yeah,
because it just doesn't logically doesn't make any sense. Like things that happen and they don't explain things and things. Yeah. It's like everyone's just dumb. Like rocket scientists are dumb.
Yeah,
dumb people. It's like, really?
So this movie is just, it's not a bad alien movie. It's just a bad movie, period. Oh,
yeah.
Sorry.
I mean, like, I feel they took, so the great thing about the alien, like the quadrilogy, is you have this great character in Ripley, and yeah. she's just awesome badass. And the way I thought they started off Prometheus, I thought they were going to give us that awesome badass female character.
Yeah.
And they were like, nope, we actually don't know what to do. Sorry, yeah. we actually don't know how to write a woman
at all. I thought Charlize Theron was going to be the badass.
Yeah.
Me too.
And then they doing the whole Noomi Rapace is kind of supposed to look like Ripley, but then she like there was no badass female character.
Kevin,
there
wasn't. Were you there for the topless push-ups? Or that was before your time?
That was before my time.
We did see topless boobies at Comic-Con.
Topless boobies.
Yeah. When we saw footage of the movie. I thought that was going to be the movie, and that was a big disappointment because I like Charlize Theron's boobies. So, all around disappointment, dude.
Yeah.
All right, Brandon, what is your two last films? Throw them at us.
All right. Well, one's a film, and the other one's more of a director in his series. But for film, 1998's Godzilla.
Okay.
So hopefully that'll be rectified soon enough. But
it looks like it.
It looks like it.
Yeah.
Huge fan of the originals.
No Mothra.
Just give me Mothra, Rodan. You know, just give me one of the classics there. But can't go wrong with a dude in a giant rubber suit. And I did not ask for a giant iguana and a bunch of eggs in Madison Square Garden. And I don't even remember
the Lost World.
Hank Azaria is funny in that movie.
I shouldn't have a bunch of comedic numbers in my Godzilla movie. Thanks. I don't need comic relief.
Here's the thing with Godzilla. It was like, it was a bad Godzilla, and then it turned into like the Jurassic Park 3 at the end. Just a bunch of fucking
T-Rexes.
I mean,
even sadder than sitting through Godzilla. I was sitting through Godzilla with my dad, and the film melted, and we went to another theater to finish watching.
I think it was a sign.
We should have taken the sign, but we didn't. We went to another theater to finish watching Godzilla.
I thought you were going to say you went and it had to start from the beginning and reset through the beginning of Godzilla to get to the end.
That'd we did.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, we went to another theater.
Watch it all. I thought maybe
they like started it up where...
No, not another theater in the Cineplex, like a whole other multiplex.
Wow.
Because it was a... Well, you wrote my summary. The Man 3, remember when that one was open? So it was only one theater where they were playing it. So we had to go to a whole other multiplex to see it and start it from the beginning.
Here's the thing about Godzilla, that version of it, is that not only was it a bad movie, but it also gave us Puff Daddy's song, the Kashmir ripoff.
I think that should have been a warning because they released that before the movie came out. That should have been a warning.
They kept playing all those Godzilla soundtrack. Yeah. There was that.
The Rage Against the Machine song is pretty cool.
There was the Wallflowers version of Heroes.
Yes.
Yeah. All right. What was your director?
All right. Well, not a lengthy filmography by any means, but I loved their first film and they've never lived up to it. Richard Kelly.
Yeah. Yeah.
Love Donnie Darko. I don't know about the rest of you, but...
Yes.
Yeah, I did too.
Yeah.
Wrote and directed. I thought, brilliant. Everything has been crap since then. He only made two other movies, and I think he's done, probably. Southland Tales.
Yeah.
Couldn't even sit through it.
And then
The Box.
Yeah. I was going to say The Button, but the original Twilight Zone episode was called Button, right? I think it's based on a Twilight Zone episode.
No, it's based on a Matheson short that's only a page long.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Spoiler, they open the box and her husband dies because it's the whole point. Someone you don't know will die. And it's like, oh, she didn't know her husband.
Yeah.
But that's not how the movie is at all.
Ugh. All right.
I mean, premise sounds genius on paper, but it was terrible.
Yeah, with Southland Tales, I actually, mind you, I didn't have to buy them. I actually sat down and started reading the comics before the movie came out. That's how excited I was. And then I was like, oh, geez.
Yeah. Yeah, it's true.
Car sex, dude.
All right. My number one, which I mentioned already, was my worst disappointment was Indiana Jones and the Crystal Skull. But my second biggest disappointment was... This cool director who, and I shouldn't fucking known because I didn't like the trilogy he made. Like I wasn't a fan, but I'm like, oh, it's a property I like, so he must be doing something good. Why am I tiptoeing around it? It's fucking King Kong.
We were talking about this earlier. I'm so glad you put this on here.
Okay, so the Lord of the Rings trilogy, I understand why people like it. I just, it's not my cup of tea. You know, I just could never get into it.
We didn't drink the Kool-Aid.
We didn't drink the Kool-Aid. Adam and I didn't drink the Kool-Aid.
I love the Kool-Aid.
Kevin and I did.
I'm right there with you. The movie is it was a once over for me.
Yeah, I've seen them once. I never have to see them again. I saw The Hobbit, and I don't know if I want to see the rest of the Hobbit movies. I really don't know.
I saw The Hobbit because I had to make sure that I had to see 48 frames per second.
Yeah,
just to make sure. And it still looks terrible.
I might go see the Hobbit sequel just so my girlfriend won't have to go alone to see them. But I not willingly, you know. She had to sweeten the deal with like a dinner or something. But King Kong, I'm like, you know what? I love the original King Kong. I even like the one with
Jeff Bridges.
I like it. And I'm like, okay, new technology. I like Andy Serkis. I like Jamie Bell, you know. I like everybody involved. I like Adrian Brody. I like Naomi Watts. I'm like, Jack Black's a weird pick, but I like him too. Let's see what he does. And then he gave me a... How long is this movie, guys?
Too long.
It's way too long.
This movie is... dude, 3 hours and 7 minutes of hell.
And then there's an extended cut, right?
God. Yeah.
Yeah, there is.
Well, really? Let's just talk about the 3-hour version. It's fucking boring. It's not a bad King Kong movie. It's a bad movie, period. Like, the whole, like, weird, like, homoerotic things with, like, the ship... The guy and Jamie Bell, mm-hmm. like, there's this weird, like, what's your relationship? Because you like this kid too much, and he likes you.
It's supposed to be paternal, but it's a little creepy.
Paternal. Yeah. Yeah. Overall, just a crappy movie for me. Not a fan.
It was.
I do like the ride at Universal Studios Hollywood. The 3D ride's pretty cool.
I wish it was a little longer.
I do too. Like 3 hours long.
Man.
Like, why couldn't they take some of the time off the movie and put it on the ride?
I know. But yeah, I know people who love this movie, but I fucking hate it. It's one of those movies that I can't justify. Like, there's nothing I like in this movie at all. Like, I'm glad he dies at the end. I'm like, thank God, this movie's over. You should have killed him in the jungle and been over with in an hour and a half.
It just keeps going on and on.
Yeah, unnecessarily.
Action gets boring. It's like, they've been fighting for like half an hour now. Yeah. Kill those fucking dinosaurs. Wait, there's another fucking dinosaur? Yeah. Kill that dinosaur.
Well, like, we get it. You have really good special effects. We get it. Now, move the fuck on, dude. Let's just kill this monkey and get out of go home, dude. I gotta pee. I don't mind long movies. It just this was unnecessarily long.
I don't even remember too much about this film. I just remember it's kind of sad that I think I enjoyed the portion before they got to the island more than when they were on the island, just because the fight scenes would go on forever and drag out.
Yeah. So that is my number. That's really my number two, but it could be my number one because fuck that movie. And I love Peter Jackson. I like Frighteners. I like a lot of stuff. I like Meet the Feebles.
Heavenly Creatures.
I love all those movies.
Dead Alive.
Just not a fan of Reagan, Lord of the Rings and King Kong.
I feel like I might have told this story before, but because my dad loves the original King Kong.
Yeah.
And so for Father's Day 1 year, I got him the original version on DVD and I got him the remake. The original version was open like that day. The remake is still in its wrapper.
Well, your dad liked the colored version of it, right?
That's correct. That probably not the best way to phrase that, considering that me and my dad are black.
Yeah.
But yes, the colorized
version. The colorized version.
Yeah. Could save that.
Sorry, colored version. Ricardo and I don't see color here.
All right. Brennan and I are colorblind.
Yes, he did. He was very upset with me when I recorded over his colorized version of King Kong,
because he doesn't his colored version.
He doesn't like black and white.
Yeah,
but he appreciated getting the original. But the Peter Jackson version is still in its wrapper, and it's what year was this? 2008.
Yeah,
when it came out. So it's 5 years later, and it's still like
probably
it's
covered. It's
caked
now.
In dust. My sitting in the exact same spot where it's been since the day I gave it to him.
You should have got him King Kong versus Godzilla. That would be open.
No. we made him watch that.
He wouldn't. But
he would open King Kong Lives first.
So he's never seen the remake at all?
No, we saw it in theaters.
Oh, okay. But he's like
he doesn't need to watch it ever again.
He wasn't wanting more Kong.
Because it's 3 hours long, and then what the extended version, because I got him like the special edition, which both versions. Yeah. So it was like the regular version and the extended version.
Yeah.
He's still watching it right now.
He's watching it in like 10-minute increments.
It's been going for years.
Yeah.
He will never open it because it's too damn long. Doesn't matter how colorful it is. He's never going
to open it. Is. Rory, what is your number one?
All right,
or your two and one.
Yeah, my last two, they're in common for me because I fell asleep during both of them. And there were two movies I was kind of excited about. I didn't know much about them. Mm-hmm. They were new. The first was Sucker Punch. I don't know what I was expecting. I guess more action and it to make sense.
You were expecting a movie that made sense.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I mean,
without dragons.
And I was like, I mean, it's what's his name? It's the 300 guy, right?
Yeah.
So I was like, this will work for this type of movie. That kind of how he films things, and it didn't.
No, it didn't.
And that's the one I didn't wake up. Like I didn't when I woke up. I didn't finish it.
My thing was like, you have all these beautiful girls, and like, you have this. I'm like, never mind. I want to say like, you couldn't throw a booby in there if you're gonna make a crappy movie. You couldn't throw a boob in there if you're gonna make a boring movie. And the thing is, like, Inception had come out that year, and I'm like, yeah, you're.
Some might argue that that's kind of the antithesis of what that movie is about.
Yeah. Well, I understand what you're going with, but it's like, if you're gonna bore me with a story, throw me a couple of boobies. You know what I mean? I'm okay with that.
It's just a weird movie.
Yeah.
I really didn't like it.
Also, it had like a weird like Inception ripoff feel to it. Right?
Yeah, a little bit.
Where it was like a dream within a dream, mm-hmm. and I'm like, I'm tired of fucking dreams. Like Inception did it well, and you know, I there's a couple plot holes in Inception, but let's just, I'm okay with that.
What would have put it over the top is some Tangerine Dream.
Yeah. Yeah.
So
which Adam loves, by the way.
Yes.
So I didn't finish that one, so I can't really talk about that one anymore. But the other one was Cowboys and Aliens.
Oh my gosh.
I could not finish. I saw the trailer and we're all just on like board with that. I was like, oh, I'm so excited. I showed people the trailer.
Yeah.
I was just like, did y'all see this trailer? It looks like it's gonna be awesome.
Because I like Aliens and Cowboys.
And so yeah, exactly. It's like every boy's dream.
And I like that Harrison Ford's in it.
Harrison Ford, Daniel Sam Craig, Rockwell. Sam Rockwell, Olivia Wilde, and Jon Favreau directing.
Yeah.
And like, it was a great comic book.
Like, as much as like Pacific Rim was like a like you playing with your toys and making your robot fight a dinosaur, I was like, this is like the next day I'm playing with my cowboys and my alien toys. And this is that movie. And it wasn't.
It wasn't that at all.
I did finish it. Like, when I woke up, it was on demand, so I like picked up where I left off.
I think the takeaway from both of those movies is you should make movies based on playing with your toys.
Yeah.
But see, I did like Pacific Rim.
Yeah. I loved Pacific Rim.
Pacific Rim was the game I played with those toys.
The thing is, like, I understand Pacific Rim has like plot holes and like accents that don't fall through throughout the whole movie, but I don't care. It just elbow rocket. Done. You got me.
Yeah, with dude.
That.
Boom.
Yeah. It wasn't fun for me.
Adam, what are your two last films?
I started.
He was the first.
Oh, you're the first.
I mean, I could rack on Pacific Rim more if you want.
Yeah. We're sure we got some honorable mentions. Yeah. We can ramble on.
Well, should we talk? Because we were talking about this in the car. You should talk about the story of one of the films that we waited up for.
Oh yeah, yeah. Oh, yes. Should I start it off?
You want to start it off? I don't know.
Who wants to start it off?
You are so cute.
Wait,
dance what? Off.
We were all witnesses to this.
No, you tell the story.
Okay, let me tell the story. I'll tell the story.
Yeah.
And then you pepper in like the fighting,
okay?
Embellish the fighting.
I think
you're referring to.
We could talk about that one.
We could talk about that too.
Two stories.
This is another one. If this is what I think he loves, it's also a movie featuring my boy.
Yeah, it's a movie featuring your boy.
This story.
So I lied when I said they could do no wrong. But yeah, they did do one.
They can do wrong. So we had seen. Yeah, we'd seen The Matrix. We loved it. And we had seen the sequel, and we're like, okay, we have questions about it. Maybe they'll be answered in part three.
Some random question that the architect didn't answer at the end of the...
No. Yeah. That was part two, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. So we're like, okay, maybe three will redeem itself, because it has to, right? These people wouldn't give these guys $300 million to make two movies if they didn't make sense at the end. So we stood up. we stood up all night.
Because they were... showing it's the movie started at the same time around the world. So in California, it was at 6 a.m. or 4 a.m.
Yeah.
Wow.
So we didn't sleep.
So we stayed up watching the original, the first two. So Matrix and Matrix.
Oh my God. Taking notes from everything the architect said.
Reloaded. Yeah, taking notes. And we're like, okay, it's going to make sense at the end. It's gonna work out, guys. And then the trailer had promised like a more Agent Smiths. It's going to be an awesome battle at the end. I'm like, all right, okay. Let's see where this goes. And then we show up early. We get up super. So we stay up watching the sequels, the 1 and 2. And then we go get breakfast and we're like, we're good. We got a full stomach. Let's do this. And we sit down and watch Matrix Revolutions. And that's... Well, I have nothing to say.
Yeah, I got nothing else.
I was sad. It was a sad day. We came out and it was like, have you guys seen the original Ocean's 11? When they're at the end, they're like walking all sad because they burned the money. Yeah. That's how it was. It was like sad music and we're like, there's nothing to redeem this, dude. That was a big disappointment. And then our another disappointment was we got a movie screening pass to see a movie that was coming out in the summer.
Oh.
And... So we're like, we're excited. We're like, yeah. And it was at the Warner Brothers lot.
Preface by saying the guy who handed us the pass, he's like, well, the last one of these was for the remake of Dawn of the Dead. So yeah. We're like, okay, this could be good. Let's check it out.
Yeah. So we all hop on the car.
Wait, so you did.
I think, and I think at the time too, because they're like,
we didn't. It's a screening.
It said untitled Warner
before the
horror.
Movie's coming, really yeah. getting released.
Okay. And so, I was at the time. I was excited. I thought, oh, I think it's gonna be The Exorcist. That they're supposed to be making,
which sure. was another disappointment.
Yeah.
But. So we all head down to Warner Brothers lot, and there's only like in line. There's only like 20 people tops, you know. And we're like, oh, it's gonna be a small screening, good movie. Then it's gonna keep it small. I hear you guys. And so we park at the lot, we go in, the whole nine yards, we're like, we're excited, we go into the theater, there's only like 20-25 seats, like couch style, dude. We're like, man, they're treating us well, man, like, these guys are going all out, and they close the door behind us, and we're like, okay, well, can't leave, cool, no problem. The movie starts, it's fucking Boogeyman, with Barry Watts. Watson?
Watson.
Watson.
And was it Emily Deschanel?
Yeah.
Yep.
And we're like, we can't leave. The movie's already horrible. We can't leave. So we sit.
You know what was weird? The other day, I was like, I really need to watch Boogeyman just so I know what they sat through. And I accidentally watched Darkness Falls instead. I was like, wait a minute. Barry Watts is not in this. Yeah.
And not only that, it was Boogeyman without like special effects finish.
So, it was like a guy going, boo. So
it was just... It was just like a black shadow that just swirled around. Yeah.
So it's
to be added later.
It's Kevin, Brandon, myself, and our other friend Brian Peril, and we get out and we're pissed, dude. We're like, we couldn't get out. We're hungry. We're just mad, dude.
Basically, if you want a picture, what we were like, it's like in Ghostbusters 2 when they get the evil slime on them and they just wanted to rip each other's heads off.
That's exactly what it was like.
So we get to the car and we get into an argument about. Shotgun, you know, meaning who's gonna get the
well, I mean, it had started earlier that day, but we were in a happy mood, so it wasn't, but now we were pissed.
So now we're pissed, and like Kevin's like, no, fuck that. Ricardo called it, like, we came up with a new rule because we didn't want Brian to get the front seat, so we came up with this rule. We came up with this rule where the oldest guy would get the seat, and guess what? It's me. You know? And Brandon's okay with it because he's like, as long as Brian doesn't get the fucking seat, I'm good, dude.
And Brian was like the youngest one, I think, there. Yep, so he was like defaulted to never get shotgun.
Never get shotgun. Because even when I wasn't around, Brandon would get the seat. And Brian's like, that's a bullshit rule. And I'm like, Kevin came up with it, you know? Like, it's his car. It's his rules, you know? And Kevin's like, yeah, it's my, you know, like, just my rule, dude. And we start arguing, and... People are coming out. Those people that were in the theater are coming out, and we're fucking arguing in the parking lot, like yelling at each other. And then it gets into like pushing, like, no, fuck you, dude. And like there's like three dudes pushing each other, fighting the Warner Brothers parking lot while people are walking by. And that was one of the most horrible experiences we've had.
I remember the comment cards after that movie.
Yeah, we wrote on this, like, they only gave you like two little like lines to write, like, and we wrote like an essay like around the borders. We're like, fuck this movie.
I may have used the word fuck like 40 or 50 times.
I remember my comments was, makes Plan 9 from Outer Space look like Citizen Kane. And they looked at it, they're like, this is no use to us. And then,
yeah. So
we only want positive comments.
They want a productive comment, or something they could use, not negative blurbs for the DVD.
Burn it all.
You know, I should go in there and burn the negative. We should burn that with George Lucas's legal pad.
So not disappointed that Boogeyman sucked, just disappointed that we had to sit through Boogeyman.
Well, it was a horrible film experience.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it wasn't expectations as much as just an overall bad experience.
Yeah, I never go to a movie if they don't have a title.
Yeah, yeah. Well, we gambled and we lost, okay? Sometimes you think it's just a fart, and sometimes you shit in your pants. We shat in our pants that day. All right, guys. So that is it. Thanks.
That'll close this out.
that's the perfect note to end on. Yeah. I think that should be the tagline for this episode. Yeah.
Sometimes it's just a fart. Sometimes you shit in your pants. All right. So that's it for today. As always, you can find us on Twitter at the Film Podcast. You can find us on the internet at thefilmpodcast.com. And there's a bunch of cool stuff, links and to our friends and all that stuff. Again, at the end of this month, we're going to be doing... Yeah, at the end of this month, we're doing we're continuing two series. One is called Director's Cut. We're going to be talking about Danny Boyle films. So if you want, bone up on your Danny Boyle films and then, you know, kind of contribute that week too. We'll tweet out the day we're going to do it, and you could, you know, send us an email of, you know, your thoughts or, a tweet. And then we're going to continue our canon films series, where we're going to be talking about the next four films of the canon film group. If you want, you can go to the website and see the ones we talked about already. We talked about Death Wish 2. We talked about The Apple. We talked about... I'm trying to blank on the ones we talked about. Do you know, Brandon?
I think you had New Year's Evil was on
New Year's
there,
Evil, yep. And then there's one more. Oh, Enter the Ninja. So we're going to continue with the next four, and hopefully once we get to the newer films, hopefully we're going to have some guests on, you know, cast members and such, working on that. And what else? You could find me on Twitter at Ricardo, U-L-T-R-E-R-E-S.
You can find me at Groat Hardstroke, G-R-O-A-T Hardstroke.
Yeah, sounds like a really good gay porn star.
Groat Hardstroke.
You can find me at An Adam Scott, A-N underscore Adam Scott.
I'm at K-Z-U-B-E-R-B-I-E-R.
And you won't find me on Twitter, folks. But you can find me if you're on Letterbox as Brandon Strelitz, S-T-R-E-L-I-T-Z.
There you go. So until next time, have a good week.